calm down.
Every time somebody goes over the number.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Go ahead.
I didn't realize it. I've been listening for the entire show, and I really don't think that police enforcement of speeders, where if you have someone going down the road so fast, I like to watch the show Cops and those shows where they show the wildest police chases, and I really feel that the police chasing people down the roads are using their own deadly weapons. And have you ever listened to the what's that called again? Buzz Burbank on the toilet.
Thanks. Anyway, so that's good. So anyway, yeah, no, I agree with that wonderful
wow
there, Rudy. You know what? It's funny. He's a jerk, but he made a point. You know what?
What? He made a point.
Made a point about Buzz. Whoopee!
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Well, hi, everybody.
What a rude little pig you really are.
Oh, no, yep. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, Dongo. What a rude little pig you really are.
Oh, dear, there it is.
What? Stop that. Silly. Very silly indeed.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Think so.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
You have hair in your special place.
What a round little pig you really are.
Oh, stop it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
welcome back, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi there. Hi, little brains, and all you rude little pigs out there.
Oh, the piggies, little piggies.
We're little brains, just like you, Don and Mike show. Friday, everybody. Hi there. Phone number, same as it was yesterday. 877-365-3636. Yes, we will dissect Daddy Dearest in just a moment.
Oh, yeah. All I can say is wow. Oh, not like a... wow. You and I are both daddies, and can you? I want to kick his ass for doing that.
You know, I've got a take that will surprise you.
Okay, all right.
There is a part of me that thinks we don't know anything about this goddamn celebrity life that these two,
yeah,
that these two faux celebs have. You know, Alec Baldwin, who's really as relevant as 30 Rock, and Kim Basinger, hello, her time has passed, right?
Well, I don't think she made a movie in 10 years.
So they're obviously using this kid, you know like one of those stretchy dolls between the two of them.
I think I know where you might be going with
who's
it.
Who's to know if the kid's not being manipulated, and that is, because if you listen to the juke of what Alec Baldwin says, love all the mean things he says. Listen,
I haven't heard the whole tape yet.
He says, I wanna hear this phone call. You gotta make this phone call with me. I'm there for the phone call with you. I don't know.
What was it? She missed a phone call to him.
Yes.
Is his weekly or regularly scheduled phone call. There's a problem right there.
See, that's what I mean. It's so Hollywood. How can you possibly say
his regularly scheduled phone call? I mean, not that I'm sure doesn't happen.
Right.
And you know, I mean, I certainly know about arrangements and how, you know, things work. But, I, you know, that might be a problem if it's a scheduled phone call.
It's not one of those names, too, like Israel or Iceland or... really, her name, I think, is... her name is Ireland, I think.
Oh, really? I think it's Ireland. I think it's Ireland. But wow, I mean, 11 or 12? How old?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know how old she is.
That's the other great.
Sure.
That's the other great thing.
Oh my God!
He says, I don't know. If you're 11 or 12.
Right.
Oh, so you've not heard it?
I haven't heard the entire thing.
All right, well, let's roll.
I've heard clips
of it. Here it is. And it has to be Kim Basinger that sold this guy out to TMZ.com.
Oh, of course. But before I hear the tape, I mean, from what little I've heard, maybe he deserved to be sold out.
Hey, Mike, before we hear the tape, let's keep the rock going. It's a twofer. Except the last one wasn't by this guy.
Stop, Betty. Petty?
Yeah.
And Stevie Nicks.
And awful coked up Stevie Nicks.
Stop dragging my memory. Hey, everybody.
Hey, it's the talk that rocks.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
Damn. Sorry.
My, oh, my.
What the hell is she singing?
Yeah, that's some wild stuff.
I got to go home.
I stepped on that thing.
I'm up to Canada. Is it me?
Who stepped on that? Don't step on my stuff. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing, Don and Mike?
Very well, thanks.
You know, I have a quick announcement for all your retard listeners out in Sacramento.
Unless it's some type of Jim Jones Kool-Aid drinking ritual, I don't know if we need to hear it.
I just want to tell all your retard listeners out in Sacramento not to call up your show and tell them about the Super Sacramento Kings because news just came out and nobody cares. That is all.
What happened to the Kings?
See, in a way...
God, I'm feeling at a disadvantage. I didn't come to the pre-show meeting,
no,
Don.
In a way, he already has broken the prime directive.
Yes.
He's speaking, obviously, of some news relating to...
Are they moving? That's the first thing that pops into my head.
If they're moving,
we can have a great deal of fun. If they're moving, this will be a show of great joy.
Well, you know, it'd be okay if they moved. There's a lot of stuff to do out there still.
A lot of work to be done.
I really don't know.
And I feel the need simply to say at the end of yesterday's show, God hates asparagus.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say my stepdaughter actually has regularly scheduled calls from her father. It's actually pretty common right now. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, but they live in a Hollywood world that you nor I could possibly comprehend. With the kids being used like a Stretch Armstrong, it's in between.
Yeah, but Jesus, if it's an 11-year-old missing a call,
But how do you know how many calls she has missed?
Well,
and
what led up to that?
Okay, well, yeah. we'll hear the call.
I have regularly scheduled calls with my wife.
I was looking at Don.
A lot of times I duck them, but...
I was looking at Don pleadingly about this. I just want to speak with some authority on this.
I'm just wondering what it was that went on in Sacramento. I'm sorry I got suckered into that.
They're moving. I'm checking. I don't even
probably
know.
Probably nothing.
They're moving.
Hold on. Yanni's got it. Let's go to Yanni.
Yanni!
Hi, Yanni.
Not that this is a huge scoop, but they fired their coach.
Oh, DFD.
Keep us
posted.
You know.
Okay, so that's God.
You know.
I wish there's electric shock we could send down the lane. Because, you know, you're actually going to have to shock somebody. The calls, because you know we'll get a call. And we'll get a call, like, after 5 o'clock Eastern time, so...
If you...
Hey, do you hear about the coach?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Kim Basinger's a dirty hooker.
Ooh. Side with Alec in this situation?
Starting.
Well, because I've had a 13-year-old stepdaughter who was demanding, you call me at this time, Dad. And then her mother would hear it, and then her mother would be on the phone. And my husband would take time off to talk to his daughter. The mother would never let her answer the phone.
Sure. I'm sorry, you are excedrin headache number 13, honey. No wonder he left you. Here we go. Here's the entire call, Mike.
Okay.
From Alec Baldwin. Make your own decision.
Very good.
Who the hell knows?
Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? And I want to leave a message for you right now, because, again, it's 10:30 here in New York on a Wednesday, and once again, I've made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call. At 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and if you don't pick up the phone, at 10 o'clock at night, and you don't even have that goddamn phone turned on. I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you. I'm leaving this message with you to tell you, you have insulted me for the last time. You have insulted me. You don't have the brains or the decency as a human being. I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old or 11 years old or that you're a child
or that
your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do as far as I'm concerned. You have humiliated me for the last time with this phone. And when I come out there next week, I'm going to fly out there for the day just to straighten you out on this issue. I'm going to let you know just how disappointed in you I am and how angry I am with you that you've done this to me again. You've made me feel like shit, and you've made me feel like a fool over and over and over again. And this crap you pull on me... with this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing to your mother, and you do it to me constantly and over again. I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your ass out when I see you. Do you understand me? I'm going to really make sure you get it. Then I'm going to get on a plane, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come home. So you better be ready Friday, the 20th, to meet with me. So I'm going to let you know just how I feel about what a rude little pig you really are. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
To replay this
message. I love you, Daddy.
Wow.
Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
I heard, you know, like, I heard little excerpts. I had no idea.
So now that you've heard the whole thing, and when you first hear it, it's like, oh, my God. You know, he's a dad who's mad at his daughter. And, you know, today's 11 was yesterday's 18. Who knows? Who really knows?
You know.
I'm not sure what you mean.
What I mean is you can speak to an 11-year-old now, and 11-year-old perhaps understands the ins and outs of what's going on with mommy and daddy and making the prescribed call on the cell phone time. I'm not saying what he did was right.
Right.
He sounded to me like a dad who was pissed at his daughter. Mm-hmm. And a dad who said, in essence, what mom used to say all the time, wait till dad gets home. Mm-hmm. You know, what he's saying is, you know, this is the last time I'm going to have this with you. You know, I'm mad. I'm going to see you on Friday. Yeah, I'm not for the name calling.
No. Yeah.
I am not trying to deflate this.
I'm listening to that, you know, and there's
my nephew's father of the year.
There's
okay?
one thing.
I
you
mean, there's no way around that.
There's one thing you say that you don't know what kind of games have been played on her end.
And keep
with that said,
and keep in mind the last thing I'll say, and then come on with it, is that the only way this tape gets out is if mommy gives it to TMZ to make daddy look bad.
Right.
So there is some sort of triangle at play here.
But Daddy did everything in his power to look bad in that situation.
You think so?
What a rude little pig you really are.
The premise here that I would take, and I think I speak with a little bit of experience on the matter.
You look like the jackass of the year.
You're talking about, if he's talking about an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old.
I have an
11-year-old. Whatever. And you know, you can't in this situation at that age, you cannot project that kind of, the reason that kid's got a tough start for starters is because mommy and daddy didn't have it together and couldn't figure out how to make it work. I'm there. I live that every day. That's true. But that's a disadvantage right there that both parents have to accept. You have to accept that your kids are having a tougher time than a lot of other kids that have, you know, the whole family unit together. And then to do that, to lay that on the kid, it's complete BS. I'd knock a guy out if I heard him talking to his kid like that, if they were that age. And an 11-year-old, my 11-year-old's teeny tiny, you know, I'd never speak to her that way. Right. Ever, under any circumstances. You yell at a kid when they're, you know, when they're screwing up and you're, you know, they're doing something that might, you know, not cleaning their room or something like that. But that's like serious.
Heavy.
I know you say today's 11, today's 18, but that's,
I'm sorry.
I disagree with that.
Has nobody ever lost their temper with their kid?
I've lost my temper with my kids dozens of times.
I've never called my kid like a little pig or anything like that, but when he was little.
Right.
God knows there were times that you would hear that tone in my voice.
I'm just taking some facts that I hear. He's leaving a message he hasn't even gotten through. He doesn't know the circumstances. He doesn't know what the deal is. He's calling, and she's got her phone turned off.
I just get the feeling that he's today's Imus.
Of the day.
That's all I know is that.
Oh, she totally screwed him.
He's being thrown out there, yes.
But you know something?
That was a bad thing for a dad to do to his daughter.
Agreed.
But my God. This is now playing out like, okay, because the Virginia Tech thing, we can't talk about it. We got to make Alec Baldwin now the bad guy of the day, Darth Vader of the day.
And if she released that tape to the media, if she's the one that's responsible for that, she's just as bad. But that should go to a social services person, a counselor, somebody. I mean, that guy's got some serious issues.
Not the radio.
Some serious.
You think?
I mean, you've gotten furious at your kid as an adult, but you know that there's some boundaries around that.
I know he's a jackass, and he sounds like a jackass in the tape. There's no denying.
There's the age.
There's no denying that.
It's the age.
I mean,
he's 11 years old.
There's no way he can defend that in this public forum.
Here's what his people have said. If you knew the circumstances leading up to this point, you would understand Alex's outrage. Beyond that, we have nothing to say.
Did anybody examine maybe the fact that he might have had a couple of pops, too?
Oh, well, sure.
I get that from the, you're
11 years old or 12 years old. Whichever
it is.
He's Alec Baldwin. How's he supposed to know?
One of them.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
He lives in a world that you and I could not live in.
But the whole thing, you know.
Lives in the world of 30 Rock, my friend.
I read the whole thing about Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. Wasn't the whole deal his temper? Isn't that she?
Oh, he's got
talk,
a legendary.
Yeah, she used to talk about that all the time, and that was the reason. You know,
did you ever think maybe she just wouldn't listen?
You contrarian, you.
The last time Baldwin was on Broadway, he was asked to leave a show, or there was trouble with him and
the
supporting cast because he ripped a phone out of the wall backstage and threw it at a cast member. Did not hit him. But...
I mean, yeah, like I said, he's a jackass.
Well,
but
it's the age. I'm just basing it on the age. You're absolutely right. There's certain kids that. You know, there are kids in this country that deserve a talking to like that. You know, but not a little one like that. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's a funny tape to listen to, and it's funny the coverage because after the press got their wee wees spanked for all of the overkill, pardon the pun, with Virginia Tech.
I had to move on.
You could not today. Here's what I saw in the news.
It's a perfect out for them, isn't it?
Yeah. First, it was this. It was good morning. None of us are in Blacksburg today. Look. We're all back in our regular set, and we're all going to do our regular show. Now, we do have someone out in Blacksburg, and today, we're going to talk to a survivor. We're going to talk about healing. And then after that, we're going to fry Alec Baldwin. Wait till you hear what he said. Just forget that we put the tapes of the killer on TV yesterday.
We have our villain du jour.
Yeah. If only Alec Baldwin had posed with a gun, you know, and with a hammer and stuff.
Right. Right.
Then we'd really have something.
Hey, can I say something about Virginia Tech
real quick?
Because, you know, over there, I don't know if you've seen it as much as I've seen it out where I live. It's kind of a neat day today.
Yeah.
Because you are seeing the colors, the Hokie colors that, you know, you can't find any Hokie colors because they're all sold out and everybody's there. It's just, it made me feel good to see everybody showing the colors with the ribbon. And it's just everywhere you go, you're seeing that. And I think that's a nice thing as opposed to, you know, putting the idiot on TV and on the cover of every newspaper in America. I thought it was kind of cool to see that today. It really, really was.
I almost did that, but I wish I wasn't so goddamn cynical about the world. One of the things that I read, this is the problem when we go on vacation, I read a lot more like newspapers than I normally do.
Right.
And I was reading something about how we're such suckers that when you buy a ribbon and you put a ribbon on and you think you're in some way supporting a cause, or if you're one of the many people that slaps the thing on the back of your car to support whatever, you think the money is going for that when really it's going towards some novelty shop somewhere.
They're supporting the ribbon industry.
Yeah, which is doing nothing really.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and that's
for the charity.
Especially today, they haven't had enough time to put together.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are people literally going out to a ribbon store and buying the ribbons and showing the colors or whatever the sporting goods store, the sports store where they can get the colors. You know, everybody knows that. I don't think there are any organizations
that
are about. You're talking about the, you know, long-standing organization, the tie a yellow ribbon and the support our troops.
You've got the support your troops magnet on the back of your car. The thing was, you know, do you realize, you know, depending on where you got it and how much you paid for it, probably none of the money goes towards anything towards supporting our troops.
On the bright side, magnet sales are up.
You know, you bought something to say what you think.
Right. Yeah, I think that you're right in that as far as they do that and you don't. You know, it doesn't really benefit anybody, but if it makes people feel better, I think it's cool.
So there's that thing going on today, which is good to mention. It's also 420. Hi, Buzz. Hi, Joe. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
And, Robbie, it's Hitler's birthday.
Oh,
Don, you've covered everybody.
He didn't know.
So there you go.
Everybody's taken care of today.
I think he knew.
Very good.
So please.
Did you see my ribbon?
Take that off.
Hello there, Donaldo E. Miguel.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
How you doing? God bless both of you.
Very well.
You guys pulled me through cancer when I had it, and, you know,
what can I say
on the radio?
What can I say?
I always want to live.
Please, hold on. Let's talk about Mike and I getting you through cancer.
Do you think we could use that? Do you think that would it be unfair for us? I mean, that's a legitimate answer from a guy that had cancer. He said we pulled him through cancer. Could we be the show that beats cancer?
Did we cure you?
Yeah, you cured me. I'm not going to give up.
Listen to that. Listen to that. All right. All right. So
I just wanted to let Mike know that the whole crap going on up in Sacramento, where I got to head up to now in traffic for 5 hours, is that the coach got fired, Musselman, today. And the other thing about Bassinger, I guess she asked...
hold on a second. You broke the cancer or not, you broke the prime directive.
You broke the rule about the stupid news story.
Right out of the gate, we already talked about that.
Oh my God, you're ripe for cancer again now.
Oh, no.
You opened yourself up. You better listen to the whole show today to make sure you're healed.
That's the only way. You're going to have to listen to the show start to finish.
I'll put it right over the wound.
Thank you, my friend.
Got us there.
The wound. Hello there. Don and Mike show is oozing. Soaking wound.
Sitting there with a radio on top of it.
His open wound.
Turn it up.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi there.
I don't know.
It just seems like every other day I turn on the radio and it's the latest witch hunt. You're looking for the guy that calls his kid a pig when really by today's standards I have 5 kids myself and my 11-year-old. When he gets upset, he cusses like a sailor. It's so one-sided. Being a part-time dad is hard enough as it is, and who knows what mom's doing to influence the situation. It's just unfair, I think.
Well, maybe I'm tainted by this whole thing because I got such an awesome 11-year-old. But
true.
My daughter doesn't do that, so it's a... You know, and I completely, you know, really, how do you look at something like this if you're a father other than through your own eyes? And as a divorced father, I look at it through my own eyes and with my own experiences. That's the only way that I can judge it.
Let me give a quick call to...
Calling Kim Basinger?
Yeah, no. Actually, as it turns out, this would be a great weekend for me. My kids surprised me.
Oh, that's right. Your kid's coming into town.
He's coming home.
Wonderful.
This weekend, bringing home yet another... Conquest.
Wow. A new one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Older gal.
Very good.
Just received her master's yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Significantly older. A couple of years? 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah, exactly.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Garnet.
Bart.
Is not available. To page this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig. What a rude little pig you really are. Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? I made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message.
So let's listen.
Press 2 to erase a message review.
What a rude little pig you really are. Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? I made an ass of myself trying to get you a phone to call you at a specific time.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
If you are satisfied...
You're laughing, still coming
press
through.
Press 1 to listen to your to send your message with normal delivery.
No, with urgency.
Press 1
with urgency.
To send your message with urgent delivery.
Urgent.
Press 2. Press thank you. Your message has been sent.
Yep. So, anyway...
Speaking of please, it's kind of urgent.
There I am, Progressive Father of the Year again, as he's bringing home... I'm glad he brings home... his girlfriends and the women in his life, and looking forward to having a little man around. I'm going to go up. I say little man. He's freaking 22 years old.
Now. 22.
Going to go spend some quality time this weekend with my sister-in-law Robbie and Ben, who's getting married over the summer. I know I've talked about my nephew Ben.
God.
And
how old is Ben?
I don't know, about 100. Bart is old enough to be the best man at Ben's wedding this summer.
Ben would be, what, 23, 24?
Ben is way... If Bart's 23, Ben's got to be 26, 27.
Wow.
Something like that?
Hey, old clock on the wall.
Anyway.
Sure moves fast.
So I'm happy the boy's coming back this weekend, and things are looking good.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Like that. Had a... you know, we should take some calls. And hold on. I'll tell you about a couple of quick things at the house, including the language barrier.
Radio Gods.
The language barrier, Jack, I want to tell you, it almost bit me on my big,
hello, Radio
formerly chapped ass today.
Your own house.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, hello, Ready to Guy.
Yes, for the 8,000th time, yes.
I'm sorry. Hey, doesn't Dr. Phil do his specials on NBC, the same station that carries 30 Rock?
I don't know, you rude little pig. All I know is that we've taken this call and I've made an ass out of myself taking this call.
Why are you compelled to say Radio God so many times?
You rude little pig.
You are a rude little pig.
I'm on the line. I'm such a rude little pig.
I'm getting off. I'm getting a plane Friday the 20th. You've made me late already.
Mike.
Alec, you are the rude little pig, and you've got issues to deal with.
You know, he may have to go that route, depending on how much hair this grows over the weekend. Right. He may have to end up going on one of those shows.
How much of your anger, Alec, is based on the fact that you were beaten by your brothers? Tito, Danny, Zippy.
Here's a question for him. How mad is Alec Baldwin still to this day at people like Joe? When he writes his name down on the screen, he puts Alex Baldwin. Alex Baldwin.
That explains the source.
How much repressed anger have you had in your soul for reading A-L-E-X all those years?
Now we've got like 8,000 unscreened calls and about 8,000 screened calls. And one of them says, Mike wants to talk about Alex Baldwin. Hello,
yeah,
Mike.
How you guys doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Alex said he went out of his way to find a phone. Don't most of us just reach in our pocket to find a phone? I just don't understand what he's talking about.
Well, again, it's the Hollywood life that neither you nor I know about.
I thought he was being completely rational.
Here he is, an unscreened call. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, radio gods.
Howdy.
Don, let me tell you. Last night I'm sitting on a couch in my funk. And I was channel surfing, and I know you talked about this before, but I bump across Doug Christie and his wife reality show. Let me tell you what this pussy has to do every year for his anniversary.
Let's just give a little background. This is the guy, when he played with the Sacramento Kings, his wife would sit in the stands, wouldn't let him look at other women.
Would take team flights to away games. She would ride on the team plane with him.
Yeah, really?
She had a very short leash on this guy.
Ball and chain. It was his balls on her chain.
And he always claimed when he was interviewed that he loved it. He liked being controlled like that. He liked the fact that she was in such control.
Like the fact that she had his nuts in a jar. And now they have a TV show. So anyway, what's happening on their show?
Bob, get that out to my... I'm sorry. Don, listen.
What?
Every year...
Bro, what is this... Foghorn Leghorn thing you're doing?
No. I was talking to my mother. She's in the background. Listen, every year.
Were you really talking to your mother? Were you really talking to your mother?
Yeah, really. I was talking to my mother.
Put her on the phone.
Well, she's going across the street to see.
No, her. She hasn't.
No, see, you're lying. You're gonna lose me here.
Oh no. Listen, okay, Doug Christie. Now listen.
No.
See, you're lying.
Where's your mama?
She's in the back room with Satan. Now, can I finish?
No, I'm sorry.
Bye!
Bye-bye. And you may have had something nice to say about Doug Christie's show that maybe we would have been interested in.
Might have been. That's interesting, too.
I remember about Doug Christie. Every time he made a shot, he had to make a gesture to his wife in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, a secret gesture.
And there was secret Christie code.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know that caller really had a chance. And Mike and I felt that making a bite for him would have been good until he refused to put his mama on the phone.
We really liked the way the caller's gas tank matched up with the frame. So we decided that we'd keep it just as is, because it really looks special, and we thought it'd make him real happy.
Oh, and just so you know how retarded I am with American Chopper, yesterday, just in our everyday jibber-jabber, Mike mentioned an episode, said, hey, did you see the one where they cut the new open? And I said, no, I hadn't. And I got home, and it really bothered me. So I went through my collection,
of course,
and I called Mike today and I said, I want to let you know, I have seen that episode. Mm-hmm. However, I had the episode titled on my disc, The Wheel of Blame, because that really is what the focus of that episode was about, Mikey making a Wheel of Blame.
And I didn't know that because I had seen it a while back. I didn't know that the Wheel of Blame took place on the same show, but since I'd seen it, obviously it had happened.
Yeah.
And they put a lot of time and effort into the Wheel of Blame. You don't see the Wheel of Blame used in other episodes, though, which frustrates me.
No, it only made that one episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, apparently, the Wheel of Blame is Paul Sr., you know, blaming somebody for something going wrong, as opposed to he's going to do it every time, and really he doesn't put a lot of thought into it, so they figure they might as well spin a wheel
to see who's at fault when things go wrong in the shop.
And what's great is that they have all of this incredible stuff that cuts through metal and makes intricate patterns, right. And this high-tech stuff.
Isn't it like a water saw? Isn't that? I mean, don't they cut with...
Flowjet. It's called a flowjet.
And they cut with incredibly high-powered water.
And they're using this incredible technology to make... like a big-time game show wheel that has people's names on it.
And right there is the reason that I love American Chopper, because of that. That they take that... I mean, how much... Did you see the episode where they were bringing it into the shop?
Yeah.
That machine, which was... You know, they had an inch to spare on either side.
Yeah, when they were trying to get it through the wall.
It was incredible, and they use it, you know, for a little prop, because it's Mikey.
And you know, even though that guy called and had something to say, we had to hang up on his ass anyway.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And regarding the guy that called up and had cancer, we would have talked to him, except he brought up the stupid Sacramento coach thing again, which is a real detail we don't want to waste time with.
Because, you know, we've done a lot of talking around the shop, and we made that bike, and we all decided cancer's not good. And OCC don't want to be a part of cancer.
So real happy we could get together and make him, you know, feel good and all that stuff and thing, you know, like... You know, stuff, thing, you know, like that.
Are you goofing on the Tuttles?
Never. I'm afraid of the Tuttles.
I'm a tribute.
Mike, I'm afraid of senior.
There's playful,
yes.
There's playful kidding of the Tuttles.
Yes.
But there always must be that underlying respect and love for all things Tuttle.
I respect the Tuttles, and I'm sorry if I cross the line into just pure mockery.
I was telling Jan as we were watching the Letterman from last night, the one that I was really looking forward to, after we were wondering what's wrong with Gary Shandling's lips.
Someone tell me what's wrong with his whole head. What is wrong with his face, his head?
Good. Didn't look good. Then the Tuttles, and also, what does it say about the Letterman show? Gary Shandling gets one segment, the Tuttles get two.
Yeah, and then Mikey had to bring out the bike.
Not entertaining.
Mikey had to bring out the guitar bike.
It's what I've always loved about American Chopper. They're at the absolute pinnacle right now. And last night they're on Letterman, and they really are just as unassuming and dumb and...
What are you doing?
What is that wheel?
What is that?
Is that like the wheel? That's the wheel of Van Dyke.
We still have the wheel. Wait a minute. We still have the wheel. Where has that been hidden?
I found it at my house during the move, and I just brought it in today. And when you're describing your wheel, I said... Good God, I've got it in my car.
The wheel of Van Dyke. Who's funnier?
Spin it, boy.
Who's funnier? Let's see what happens. Spin it.
Ready?
All right, now, before you spin it, we should say our wheel of Van Dyke.
We used to have an argument on the show about who the funnier Van Dyke was, my man Dick.
Or my man Jerry.
Or Mike's man Jerry. And we argued about it so much, we finally had a listener make us an actual wheel, like a Wheel of Fortune.
Beautiful.
And it's powerful, handsome.
Oh, it's great.
It really is.
It's a nice unit.
It's like Carney quality.
It was made by some architect, right?
We're all in here.
It's bright red, which is a nice detail. Right.
Well, somebody take a picture of it for the website.
Okay, it's spinning. Hold it.
It's not making the click, click, click sound.
Why don't spin it so damn hard?
Yeah.
So recklessly.
The thing is that it's off kilter.
How come it's not making the... sound.
It's apparently
is it,
off its
is it broken?
It needs to be adjusted.
Oh, it needs to be
Rob just dropped the ass bomb. Rob just dropped the ass bomb.
Well, now you're busted.
You don't hear that much, do you?
I think the rubber flicker on the thing is too old.
Yeah, I think it needs a new one.
The rubber's rotted?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rubber's rotted out.
Yeah, how many times have you said that, Buzz? Oh, gee, I'm sorry. This rubber has gone bad.
Night after night.
We're going to have to send this back to the shop.
No, all you need to do is get a piece of plastic and put it in that little thing, a long enough piece of plastic that'll somebody's got to have something.
Sure.
Getting back on point, though, while these guys are fixing our wheel about the Tuttles, last night, and Letterman is giving them a prostate exam. I mean,
he loves it, man.
Really, they could just sit there, and Letterman, like myself, could just look at them and go, golly, you guys sure are super.
He loved them, didn't he?
They don't bring... anything at all. They sit down and Letterman says, how you doing? And they both go, okay, good.
It's Letterman is basically so enamored of the Tuttles that they can say anything. They can say an I don't know, and he will laugh like it's the best stand-up comedian you've ever seen.
And that's what I love about the Tuttles. They're not putting it on. No. It's just like...
being real.
There you go. Now we got the sound.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay, spin it one more time. One more. Here we go.
Put your money down.
Is it Dick? Or is it Jerry?
Always bet on Dick. Always bet on Dick. Come on, Dick.
It's Dick.
Dick.
Best two out of three.
Winner.
I'll take my money and go home right now, Mike. Please. Okay, two out of three.
Two out of three.
Two out of three.
All right.
The Wheel of Van Dyke. Come on, Dick.
Jerry.
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 Jerry. Okay, tiebreaker. Now two out of three.
Very exciting.
Mikey's a big winner.
All chips are in.
Deciding win.
Come on, Dick.
Hold on.
Why'd you spin it the other way?
What are you doing?
Why did you spin it the other way?
Because the thing was about to break. We've got a bad clicker.
The clicker's definitely rotted out.
Yeah, so hold on. Here we go. Official spin.
Always bet on Dick. Dick never lets you down.
Oh, Jerry.
Dick!
Congratulations.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Dick is the best Van Dyke today.
Why don't we fix it instead so it's not broken, so we can have a functioning wheel,
Mike,
please.
Excuse me.
Jesus.
Excuse me.
Not right, the thing's not.
It's operated, as far as I'm concerned, it operated fine on the first spin and on the third spin.
It definitely has rot. It has clicker rot.
The second spin is the spin we got to look at.
Not fair. I've had that too.
No spin zone.
Not right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Who did more damage to the 11-year-old girl, the father who made the phone call or the mother who released the call to the world?
Wow, that's a great point. That
I
really
would say
is.
Right there.
He's a bitch on a stick.
Hold on. It's like 50-50, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it's just
absolutely 50-50.
Not really.
No, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's, you know, in a situation like that, if you do the War of the Roses thing, especially with kids involved, you know what's going to happen? The kids are going to suffer eventually. So, you know, they should both sit their selfish asses down and get this thing figured out.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
I love you too, Daddy.
God. I mean, but the kids, I mean, forget the kid. Seriously, that kid screwed up. Yeah, there must have already been trouble, clearly.
You know, I bet my daughter, who lives in an igloo in Minnesota, has not heard one word about this story. She's so tied up with the three kids and everything going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Of course. How old are they again?
They are six, four, and two.
There you go. That's a handful.
Damn it. It'll be no fun.
Hi, you've reached four.
Yeah. It's no fun leaving a message.
I know.
Never mind. It'd be more fun with her because she's a girl.
None of your kids are home.
No, they're not.
You know, I sent my daughter a text message yesterday during the show. I think I have.
Oh, good.
One second.
You rude little pig.
Let me see what I said.
Dear Catherine.
Can you retrieve sent text?
Yes.
Yeah,
you should be able to.
Yeah,
sure. What did you write?
6:24 p.m. April 19th. I love you and I am so proud of you.
Oh.
That's it. I didn't put the other part in there. I'm so sorry.
I just implied.
It's understood.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. What's happening?
Yeah, you guys are completely forgetting that Alec Baldwin has a God complex.
Yeah, you know.
I am God.
There it is.
Yes. What, Robbie?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Just when you walk by the microphone and put your headphones on.
You mean when the building shakes?
I'm eager to hear what I have to say.
Well, that's why I said what, Robbie?
I know.
That's
the building. Make you wait on it, though.
That's why I said what? Come on. Who's been by your side during the whole TV ordeal?
Oh, my God. Thank you, Bob.
Who called you up today and said, do you have it yet? Is it there yet? Call me when they fix it. Didn't I say, wake me up when Rob's TV is fixed and feed me a cherry pie?
How was my mood when you called this morning?
Not good.
Yeah, it's no better now.
Oh. Not good.
You don't have TV still?
No, I have TV, but I was to get my high definition installed today.
Yeah?
But when they came out on the third appointment to give me TV, they installed the wrong dish.
This is the fourth time they have completely screwed up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
These are the DirecTV people?
Yes, I think it's the installers more than the company itself, but let's blame everybody.
Mm-hmm. So it's got to be high def then.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. If you pay that kind of money, what are you going to do? Watch medium def? I want my high density TV.
Not like you're going without food.
What was that?
I am God.
Oh, Buzz, hold on.
But don't make me choose.
Let me just say to you, Buzz, a man who loves television as much,
well,
or maybe more
TV
than anybody.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
Buzz,
yes.
Could you exist? Well, you know, you don't watch a lot of sports. Could you exist in a world where you knew high def was available and was there
and still you are forced to watch regular analog TV.
You've got me. It would frustrate me.
Yeah,
it would depress me.
You have a high-definition set. You have a high-definition box, but no high-definition television.
Could you live without high-definition, Buzz?
For a couple of days if I had regular TV, sure.
How many people in this room are addicted to high-definition? I am.
I am.
I'm completely addicted to high-definition.
And what if the installer told you that you'd have it last Sunday, and here it is Friday, and you don't have it?
Right, Rob.
Yeah.
Right, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
Goddamn right.
No wonder I dropped an S-bomb.
You know. You know, Rob.
Yes, Rob.
You know.
Tom, do you like high def?
F you, Rob.
Robot. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about Alec Baldwin for a second.
Who doesn't? Go ahead.
I think there's two really important points to remember in the whole thing. The first one is, I mean, obviously this is a pattern problem, and you should never underestimate a woman's ability to irritate the hell out of somebody. And the second thing is what he said about, I don't care that you're a kid. I mean, that's the whole point. He should have left that message for Kim and not for his kid.
Right. Can I say something, though? And I think this is an important point that needs to be made here. No matter what he said on that tape, it doesn't make him any less handsome.
Or any less.
Thank you.
Any less fat.
Don, has anybody said that today?
I don't think
Have you
so.
Heard that in any media?
Can I just pile on and be beneath Mike's quote? To say, ascot, thy name is Baldwin.
Yeah.
Smoking jacket,
yep.
Ascot, thy name is Baldwin.
Sweaty balls.
Yeah.
Still was a great bit on Saturday
maybe one
Night
of the,
Live.
One of his best bits ever on Saturday Night Live.
So good on
He's
Saturday
so
Night
funny.
Live. He's such a funny
great
man.
Great on 30 Rock.
And here's the thing. How can you hate the guy for yelling at his kid? Because did he goes, ABC. Always be closing.
Yeah.
Right?
Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's the man.
You ever think maybe?
That's a good tech. You know what? You know, let's go against it because everybody's making him the villain.
No, Mike, I'm just saying, you know, maybe his daughter is a pig who just won't listen.
Yeah, it's a girl's fault.
I predict he comes out of it smelling like a rose. I think it's forgotten by Monday. Because what he's already issued the statement is saying, you don't know what led up to this.
You know,
and
you might
that's
be
all he says. It's more personal than anything.
You might be right in that we've come off a couple of weeks of a lot of crap going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already reading on the internet the people that are saying, hey, don't compare this to Imus, you know,
yeah,
and stuff like
right.
that. So I think from that standpoint, I think people might be ready for a break.
He never you know? Hit her. Yeah. He yelled at her. And, you know, who's not guilty of that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know
he'll be sorry,
you
Tom.
Know. Hello, Dad. What if his daughter actually thought like that? You know. Hello. It's Ireland. You know.
Well, he didn't coice. Oh, he did coice.
What?
He didn't say
one
he,
word.
He feels like S.
He said the S word.
Yeah.
And then he said ass. That gets deleted out on TV as well.
It does.
Yes.
Which means it's perfectly acceptable.
Right.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, yeah. I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
We heard that one.
Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? I've made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time.
How about his voice gets high when
he
gets
mad? He's
really mad. Hey, I want to tell you something, okay?
He just sounds like a dick.
You know, the thing is that caller was right, though, about in this day and age, trying to get to a phone, trying to get to a pay
exactly.
phone and borrow quarters. And...
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Wow.
Is she a chubby girl?
Oh, no, God, I hope not.
No, she isn't. I've seen photos.
I'm sure she's anorexic. She's a child of Hollywood.
Exactly. Hey, she's got, look at the jeans, though. You know, she's got Alec and Kim. I mean, Kim and her day. Wow.
Yeah. She's probably heroin chic.
Alec has a few different sizes of jeans, though.
This is true. Alec does balloon a little bit.
I remember him on the...
Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah, Sharon Osbourne show.
When he wore the robe.
He was in
massive,
bed.
Massive.
Yeah, he looked like a flip.
At least, and again, I think that's a reason why I like and respect, I'm going to say Charles Barkley so much.
Right.
Because I say, when you talk about race, Charles Barkley speaks his mind. On that dumb NBA show, he speaks his mind about his weight. Because they give him a hard time constantly about his weight.
Right.
He says, you know, hey, I got my fat clothes, I got my medium clothes, I got my skinny clothes.
He's smart to do it that way. I sometimes think I should do the same thing. I truly do. Or just, like, wear a parka. Just a parka with nothing on underneath.
I do that, but just have the fat clothes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you got to remember Alec Baldwin. He has the power to cloud men's minds.
And this will all be forgotten.
What's that from? What's that? What movie is that from?
The Shadow.
The Shadow. Oh, yeah.
He was Alan Cranston.
Yeah, he did do a lot of bad movies.
Wasn't he a Tom Clancy guy, too?
He was the first Jack Ryan.
He was the first Jack Ryan.
Wasn't he the first one?
He was at Hunt for Red October.
That was before Patriot Days, which was before Clear and Present Danger.
He was great in the Hunt for Red October.
And I know we probably discussed this a million times. Even if it's on regular edited TV, don't you always stop on Clear and Present Danger?
Oh, absolutely. Phenomenal movie.
And speaking of high def, that's ever
on. I never see it, though. I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's on the high def channel a lot.
Is it really?
On DirecTV.
With that great villain. That great, kind of Antonio Banderas villain.
The overweight guy with the mustache who's hitting a jugs machine, who's hitting at a batting cage.
He's the one where they try to take him out with a jet, right?
Yes.
But then there's the other guy who's the suave.
Oh, okay, right.
The suave, mastermind.
Yeah, the guy who later, the fat guy tries to beat up with a,
yes.
With a bat.
A baseball bat.
A baseball bat.
Because that's his hobby. Yeah. He's got a batting cage. At his Colombian residence.
See, that's the guy that I like in the movie. The fatter guy, the drug lord. The guy who, when he's walking through the rubble, goes,
"You did this to me! I will find you! You took this from me!"
It's a great movie.
And the guy you're talking about is the guy... I'm so angry about
he's
this
the
movie.
Casanova guy.
The guy who gets it on with Moira,
yes.
Who is a girl who works in the State Department.
That's it. And that's how he gets all the intel, because he's basically gotten into the intelligence agency through her, through getting in her.
You know.
And then he has to snap her neck.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes in espionage.
You know.
Couldn't do that to him. Unsnappable.
Yeah. God damn.
That'd be a good movie name. Unsnappable.
Unsnappable.
Hello. Don and Mike show. I had a moment, I was thinking, oh, how can I work Tinkle into this?
Tinkle the musical?
Because yesterday, as long as we're talking about projects and titles and everything, really, I've got to tell you, Mike, the investors are clamoring.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
To get behind our Tinkle erotica.
You know, what we're trying to do now is spread the wealth a little bit, but there's so many people that have offered so much money. In many cases, twice as much as that amount of $800,000 for the movie that we were pitched on yesterday.
There's the medical thriller you pitched, The Hunt for Red Tinkle.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Surprise ending.
Clear and Present Tinkle.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, the other one doesn't work. Patriot Tinkle.
Tinkle.
It would have to be Tinkle Games.
Right. Tinkle Games. That could be the real title.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you God.
Hi there.
Just wanted to let you know this morning, Opie and Anthony were on the Junkies promoting some comedy thing they're having. And
I am aware of that.
Yeah. And did you hear that they gave you guys a shout out?
Yes, I heard that also. Nice. Thank you to Opie and Anthony. It's very nice of them to do that.
Every once in a while we get asked about that. We're very, very fond of Opie and Anthony.
They certainly paid their dues to get where they are. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no question about it.
I think that they took a lot of heat in this company for standing up for Imus as well. I think they devoted a hell of a lot of more time on their show because they're in New York than we did on it. So, good for them.
Yeah. Good for them.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
Tinkle the Musical, Tinkle and Present Danger, Clear and Present Tinkle.
Who would have thought of, in the year 2007, with all the hardship we're going through, you just heard it. Opie and Anthony called us Junkies and said hi to us. And just years ago, we were all hating each other. Now, see, can't everyone take a lesson from us, Opie and Anthony, the Junkies? You know, whatever that crappy show is that's on after us, and the crappy show that's on after that. And
if the world would take its cues from Shock Jocks, it might just be a better place for all of us.
Amen. Well, the truth is, what you're finding now in radio is that, first, that old thing is really true. Your enemies become your friends, and your friends become your enemies, and you really never know who your enemies are until your friends sell you out. And the problem is now we're all in this boat together, so I think we finally figured out as an industry why should we fight with each other when really we are all one word away from being the next Imus.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very precarious way to make a living.
Seriously.
Based on the climate now between the FCC and the witch hunts that they had against
us. I mean, ain't nobody in this company that's got the Howard Life Preserver anymore.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Not a chance.
Mel's not swooping down to save anybody anymore.
No, it doesn't work that way.
For goodness sakes.
But I do believe that people in this business are also quite resilient.
Yes.
Also true.
And good luck to the new president of CBS Radio.
Amen.
There's another new president in town.
There is indeed. Godspeed. Willkommen.
There's a new boss in town, and he had the job before.
He might be better than the last one.
The last one hated our guts. The question is it okay for us to say that now, or is he totally gone and out of the building?
Because we're not sure, we could still get fired.
So we'll just say, hey, Joel, good luck. And hey, Dan, welcome back.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
Beautifully done.
Bum, 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 bum,
wonderful.
Bum.
Stand behind the talent. Christ, Dan, that's what you used to do when Mel was here, when it was a real company. Stand behind the goddamn talent.
Amen.
Please. Jesus Christ.
Please.
You rude little pig.
Alec.
Alec.
You didn't mean that, Alec.
What a rude little pig you really are.
All right, listen, let's pick this up. Oh, when we come back, oh my gosh, so much stuff to tell you about with the problem in America. I'm going to have to handle this very delicately.
You get your fingers up in the air in that school marm way. The problem in America is
the language barrier, and it almost cost yours truly a gigantic chunk of change.
Wow, really?
I'm not talking about like being fined by the FCC or anything.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, see, see. That's right, Mike.
Somebody planted the wrong tree?
No, sir. Let's do this and come right back.
Please. This is so naked. Someone plant the wrong tree?
Hello?
I think I need a bowel movement.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
No.
Hello? Okay, break. Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't really understand. This is normally where we hear the Katie Couric message of the day. I've been told this is a special 420 message.
Oh, good.
Whatever that means.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Okay.
Jacksonville, Florida. Chuck enjoys marijuana. So he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong. That's a pipe used to smoke marijuana.
What?
I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Somebody's singed a kitten. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-BONG.
I love that. It's a one-way trip to Fist City. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Man, this is shenanigans. Foolishness.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
This show is going to deal with all the personations of this guy, you know. This good lady, you know, I'm Julia Child. I'm making my own time. My bananas caught in my skinny all night.
How about another one?
And you know who else you can next to me is French Gourmet.
French Gourmet.
Hi, everybody. I'm French Gourmet. This show is about how to cook, how to make bananas into small pieces for the jello.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Experts at doing the toilet facility.
Oh.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Where is that word again? Toilet.
Turlet.
And when I was just in the bathroom saying, touch the sky. Mow, mow, mow. I was reflecting on a comment made by me.
That sounded funny. We all do that.
the company didn't stand behind Opie and Anthony when they got fired.
No, no.
So I guess those were not the good old days,
right,
when the company stood behind talent. Because
no.
when they got fired for the Sex and the Church thing, all of the managers and everybody and the salespeople, they all knew that this thing was going on.
Right.
So I think we said at the time that they shouldn't have been fired. So those were not the good old days. When exactly were the good old days when the management stood behind talent? Or was that something now that we've made up?
We've made it up.
So they never really stood
behind
never
were
the talent.
There. No, no, no. And in fact, that can move into TV and movies as well. The suits never stand behind the talent. It's just not done. That's why they're suits and we're, you know, on the other side.
But didn't...
That's just the way it goes.
Didn't Infinity Broadcasting, our old company, didn't that used to kind of be the credo that they stood behind the talent and
they hired
you to say pretty much anything you wanted within the FCC guidelines, and if you didn't break an FCC rule,
right, you were fine.
They'd stand behind you all the way.
And they fought the FCC more in those days as well. They've backed off of that now.
Well, they fought the FCC for Howard.
Right.
That's about it.
Yeah. Not for you guys ever?
No.
That you can remember?
No.
I just thought I'd ask.
I believe...
They've done nice things for us.
Yeah.
They've actually helped us out in certain scrapes that we've gotten into.
Well, yeah.
There you go. But nothing really, you know, on a national level.
Yeah, well, we've never gotten in really big trouble, though.
No, we haven't. National level.
Gosh. We should aspire to that.
But when we...
to get in some big national trouble. But, you know,
we did get in big national...
You got to have a big national show, though, to get in big national trouble.
We got in big national trouble when we got suspended.
Yeah, but that was only because... But that was only national because... Well... It was only national to the people who were involved. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, well, you mean the people that could listen.
No, what I mean is the only really people who knew what hot water we were in were Mel Karmazin, the president of the company, you and me, and whoever those people before Congress was.
Was he the head of the company?
Yes.
When we got our
Do you remember when the Janet Jackson thing came down?
Yeah.
Mel,
I don't know if we're on with him or not.
Mel was on C-SPAN in front of Congress,
yep,
trying to explain why CBS let the nipples show.
Right.
And then somebody said, hey, what about the fact that on one of your radio stations just yesterday a bad word got through?
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, that's right. You're right. Good memory.
Good memory.
That's how it narrows it down for me.
Yeah.
Remember that we were made to listen to that?
Oh, sure.
Hearing? That was painful.
Yeah.
You get a real perspective on Congress and their hearings when you're on the receiving end of it.
Oh,
you really get to know what they're all about. They're all about making their big, big noise. They really are.
I guess that's when we got in the most national trouble. But like I said, nobody knew about it.
No.
Only we knew about it. Only we got the call later from, you know, New York with Mel and everybody else screaming at us going, you know, hey, you stupid dicks. You know, we're in front of Congress, and we're trying to get out of this Janet Jackson thing, and all they want to ask is about why a bad word got through in your radio show. You stupid dicks!
Mm-hmm.
You know. But
that was a time when I felt particularly close to management. Otherwise, things were fine.
I truly did.
And when we went to that little meeting, I felt even closer when they were explaining the rules to us.
Oh, the new standards?
Yeah.
Oh, that.
On K Street with the Visa card machine.
I remember.
Yeah, that's where they said we couldn't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They did, and we asked for a specific set of guidelines, and they weren't forthcoming. They didn't have them ready.
Oh, now it's kind of the way it used to be.
Uh-huh.
We're doing the show, and we're doing the best we can, which is why, like, when an IMUS thing comes up, we do have to ask, where are the parameters?
Because, and they won't tell us.
Because the deal now, we don't even bother asking our bosses, because they're not going to say anything to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's one other perception, as long as we're talking about radio, that you hear all the time. And I don't mean to stand up for management, but you hear they hire you to say things and they push you to say things. And then when you say things, they don't stand behind you. I mean, that's kind of true. The part that's not true is no one has ever stood behind us and said, hey, guys, that show you did today,
mm-hmm.
you know, you didn't insult enough people.
They don't push us.
You know, they don't push
it's
you.
It's a quiet understanding. Is what it is.
They just let you do what you do until you get your, you know, until you get your D caught somewhere.
And then they really disown you. I mean, they have nothing to do with you.
Who are you?
That's the way it works.
That's right. Yesterday's garbage.
Well, then that's, you know, as long as you understand that, you can deal with it. You know, that they're all duplicitous.
They're all rude little pigs.
They're very rude little pigs.
That's right.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
I had to leave this message for the outgoing president of our company.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
He didn't care, did he?
No, he didn't.
He was too busy going to his next job. Whatever that might be.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Radio Gods.
Hi.
Hello, what's happening?
I wanted to know if you guys were aware on the live stream, the...
Are you wearing patchouli oil right now?
No, I'm not.
All right, that's just
but I am in California.
Oh, you are in California. Are you wearing like one of those big tie-dyed skirts?
Big caftan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Caftan?
No.
Caftan.
Are you wearing a bell around your neck?
Rob.
Rob. Anyway, Rob, I love you.
You were talking about the internet tinkle. What about it?
Up until recently, for volunteer.gov, Alec Baldwin had a commercial for them saying that, you know, his religion encouraged them to volunteer, and as a concerned father, he was concerned about the future. And I've been listening today, and they haven't been playing that particular commercial anymore.
Yes, that's probably why. That's the beginning. It always starts like that on a website. Then it works its way out.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you stupid idiot.
What can we do for you?
Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
It's Don Imus, and I've had it with
you.
Oh,
bye!
He's good, isn't he?
Nice, Rich Little checking in before his big gig tomorrow.
Come up to Canada and see me.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. I need to beg for Buzz's forgiveness.
What have you done to offend me?
Why?
How have you smited me?
I called earlier to talk about Alec Baldwin, and I was a rude, rude little piggy, and I did not tell him happy 420. I forgot.
That's very kind of you to call.
We women stop fawning all over him, for God's sake.
Don't stop, women.
Stop, you know, preening
on his big green day.
You know, very
big marijuana day.
Very soon he's going to be getting out his afro pick again. You know, his hair is growing out again.
I thought it was Earth Day.
And he's going to start doing that thing again with his afro pick.
Have you ever thought about growing it, like really, really growing it?
Like
in the old days, like that picture we have up on the wall?
Not since, but there was a time I had the big afro, sure.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see that again.
Like
you really don't want to see that, but I do have pictures.
Bose is the type of, as he gets older, Bose would be one of those older guys that would grow a ponytail if he had that kind of hair. You know, he'd have the ponytail in the back. I could see him with that. Sandals, you know, the big, like, Filipino shirt that he wears.
Almost like the type of shirt, I know we've discussed it before, a pottery shirt, the type of shirt like the Picard would wear if he went on a holiday on Star Trek.
Exactly. Looking in my closet again.
It's some kind of wedding shirt. Isn't it called some kind of wedding shirt?
It's called a Mexican wedding shirt.
A Mexican wedding shirt.
That's right. I have that.
And not a real ponytail. Oh. Buzz would have the kind of ponytail that Jack Nicholson had
Witches
of Eastwick.
Hold on. A Mexican ponytail. Let me just get this out or I'm going to forget that.
Okay.
This happened like last week or the beginning of the week. Okay. I told you over the weekend when Jan and I were sick, there was a problem. The furnace broke twice, and when we had that deluge of rain,
right?
We had like 8 gigantic leaks in the roof. So
it was like a 1-2 punch.
Guy comes out on Monday. I'll give you the shortest possible version of this. We have had so many people coming to the house in the last week. We've had the guy coming, the exterminator, because we've got a problem with mice. We've got a problem with ants. We have a problem with carpenter bees.
Mm-hmm.
The furnace people have been out there. The air conditioning people have been out there. The roof people have been out there.
Has the bathtub fallen through the floor yet?
No, it's not, Mike. It's not quite Money Pit yet.
Good.
Not yet.
That would be your reaction. The carpenter ants.
So, Janet has dealt with most of this. The one part of this that I handled was... on Monday, when I was just getting over not feeling great, and I was pissed about all these things wrong with the house, the guy that we called about the roof comes out. Now he's a guy who spoke limited English.
Okay.
So I'm doing the best I can with this chap.
And this is your roof we're talking about. Fix the roof with the holes in it.
Yes, we're walking around the house. We're seeing there's a wet spot up there.
Mm-hmm.
A wet spot up there. He gets up on a ladder, and he gets up on the roof, and he comes down, and he says, as far as I can tell, all this chap says is, there is a leak, we can fix. And I said, great. He said, okay, mañana. Mm-hmm. That means tomorrow.
Yes.
See?
I speak.
Very good.
I speak the language.
Yes.
Well,
you're fluent. You're conversational.
This all happened so fast. The very next day, what's today? Friday?
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, truck pulls up, and I assume it's just one of the many people that are coming out to fix the you know, our Adams family house, and it's a guy from the same company as the other guy. I say, oh, the roof guy. I got this handled.
How's his English?
Now, this guy speaks perfect English.
Okay.
Okay? He says, how you doing? I say, very well. He says, well, let me take a look at the property. So he starts looking, and he goes, yeah. It's pretty much as I saw. Here you go. Here's the work order. I need you to sign this. And
with an estimate?
Yeah. Guess. I defy you to guess. Now don't make it like you're goofy.
I'm not. $20,000.
You're pretty close.
Oh, I just had a roof done.
$22,000.
Good.
Oh, my God.
I'm good. That's your whole roof.
That's what I said to the guy. I said, $22,000? And he said, yeah, new roof. Isn't that what you discussed yesterday? And I said, no.
Yeah.
And he said, and this guy wasn't being a dick. He said, well, I've got the work order right here. And I said, I don't see my signature on that anywhere. So
was he with a crew, or were they all ready to
he was the guy
popping on your roof?
He was the guy. He had a hard hat. He had the ladders on his truck. He was like the first guy coming out to.
It sounds like you need a new roof, though.
I got another opinion.
Okay.
And
they're going to fix it? They're going
to
patch it?
I do not need a new roof. I need to have the leak fixed.
Good. Well, the leak's coming from the roof, right?
One leak.
Right?
Yes, it is.
When's the last time you had a new roof?
That would be never.
Okay. Since you've been in the house, you haven't had a new roof.
That's correct. And I had the guy come out who I trust, who has done stuff on the house the whole time that we've lived there and I've owned it, and he came by and he said, no. You've had this problem with the leak before. You just never handled this. Frida always handled this. I'll get the guy out here. And I said, do I need a new roof? And he said, no.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good that you got that guy then.
You know.
It's good you got that guy, so you didn't have to pay a new roof.
And I honestly believe that it was truly just the fact that it was a language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
That this guy that I was speaking with looked at it and just said to me, meaning,
Well, if you looked back at the you have shingles on your roof now, right?
Yeah, and also on my inner thigh.
Oh. But the shingles that are on your roof now, also, you know what they would have been replaced with?
What?
Spanish tile. And that just wouldn't look good on your house. It wouldn't be right.
You know.
There was the parade of people out there today.
Yeah.
The problem with these mice have driven us crazy. And the thing is, they're mice with attitude. Because we'll be sitting in my cave room,
right,
watching TV, and the mouse, one of them, will actually appear.
Will Rudy be anywhere near her when that happens?
Will Rudy?
You said the mouse will suddenly appear.
Oh, you mean Rudy.
Do you offer her a box of wine?
Not Phyllis Marsky.
Oh, okay. Oh.
An actual little mouse.
A real mouse.
Yes, we have real mice in the house.
They're probably getting ready to leave you now because the weather's warming up.
They're getting ready to leave because we dropped an S load of poison on them today.
Oh, dear.
Here's the problem with these little effers.
Yeah.
That they got such balls. It's like we've got traps everywhere.
Right.
They figured out how to eat the peanut butter off the traps, and they actually now stand in the middle of a room. We'll be watching TV, and they're so bold, they like just come out and go, hey, what's happening?
So they don't do that little mad dash across the room?
They'll stop? So what we did was, over the last, I guess, month, we've killed three of them.
Right.
And the other night we were laying in bed, and Janet said, do you hear that? And I said, what? She said, mute the TV. Okay, it's like a cardinal sin, mute the TV.
I don't want to.
And I hear
in the wall.
Yeah. She says, you know what that is? It's those bastard mice. She says, let's do it once and for all. So the guy, we had Dr. Duff come out today.
Did you have John Goodman come out, like in Arachnophobia?
The Jack Kevorkian of mice came out today.
There are no spiders here.
And he said, throw all your traps away.
Oh, really?
He said, this problem will be handled.
Okay, for the dogs, though? No problem with the
dogs?
Doggy's
got to stay outside today.
Okay, very good.
So, I think I'm okay. I
hope they don't die, like, somewhere in your house, because, you know, they can do that. I had one die on a stove one time, and they die, and then they rot, and it's terrible. So I hope, you know, I hope that they go outside. Don't they, like, dehydrate them or something like that? They give them something that dries them all up?
I think what he was saying was that pretty much we won't, if all works according to plan, we will see nor smell nor have to take care of any mouse carcass.
Oh, good.
That somehow they will just dissolve.
Was your exterminator wearing all black leather?
Chaps.
Did he look like that guy in Fargo that puts his friend in the wood chipper?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, and where's your friend? Where's the little guy?
Hey, I guess that's your friend back in the wood chipper there.
The little guy.
Oh, why'd you do it?
And Mike, don't forget to buy Guitar Hero this week.
Oh, man, you got to, yeah.
Well, I just did remind you.
I know. I'm having one of those times in my life where I'm not remembering stuff. I'll remember. I should see. You know how I am? When you tell me do that, I should have done it last night. I should have got on my way home. I should have, and maybe I'm gonna. You know, I'm gonna do that tonight.
It'll
I'm
be great
buy it tonight.
If you got,
I'm gonna buy it up the street.
If you got Guitar Hero, you can practice it over the weekend and like maybe Monday and Tuesday, and then like Wednesday we can bring an Xbox in.
Okay.
And we'll both be at the same lame talent level, except you will have
okay
a leg up because, as you said, you used to be a.
I am a.
You am a. You are a.
I'm,
you
I'm,
am a what?
I am a professional musician. Thank you. I have been paid to provide musical services.
You have another appearance coming up soon.
Hello, Don and Mike.
That's right, I'm
yes
a professional singer. I'm not getting paid for that,
but it's
Don and Mike.
You know, hey, oh, let's tease that. Let's come back with that in a moment. That's a big piece of news.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm a lot nervous.
You're going to be fine.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, Alec Baldwin you guys are talking about.
Yes, he's hot as balls. What about him?
He was on the Team America cartoon. He was the leader of the FAG, the Film Actors Guild. And I thought that you guys were talking about him, and you were talking about what he'd been on and things he'd done. Some crickets? Yeah. My mom sleeps with Satan.
What about vagina?
That's a nice thing. I like that. Your mom sleeps with Satan.
Hey, I
want
to tell you something, okay? I made an ass of myself trying to get you a phone to call you at a specific time.
Oh, God.
That's uncalled.
Is that a 420 sound effect?
What a rude little
that is a bong,
you really are.
What was that?
That is a bong, sir.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
That was for you, Buzz.
Thank you. Wow, Buzz, a lot of love coming through the radio on 420.
It's my special day.
Thank you, sir.
Sir.
May I have another, sir?
I have a short haircut, sir.
Hello there. Don on my show.
Don, you are totally getting lied to by your pest control guy if you won't have to deal with smell or see mice. I've been a pest control tech
okay
for 10 years.
Shut. Up. Thank. You.
You know. Okay. He's gone.
No, he's still there.
No, I'm still here.
What's the grossest thing you've ever seen as an exterminator?
Oh, probably I was training a new guy in an apartment with just roaches everywhere.
Not a good one.
And I forgot to tell him to open the door and step back, and he was looking up when he opened the door, and they got all in his mouth, down his shirt.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's a good story.
Not as good as the one that my guy told me.
What was that, Mike?
The Chinese restaurant.
What was that?
In Florida.
What did he find?
Palmetto bugs, which are basically giant cockroaches.
Right.
And the light.
Yeah, they're called cockroaches.
American cockroaches. And the light was broken down in the basement of this restaurant, and he went downstairs, and when he turned his flashlight on, he shined it on the wall, and the entire wall was moving.
Ooh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty nasty.
Friend, listen, just like, you know, we're doing a radio show here. No need for you to jump in and be Superman, okay? I'll be okay.
You'll be fine.
I'll be okay.
And then he hung up.
You know. Dickwad.
Hey, look who's here.
Speaking of dickwads.
How are you doing, Joe?
Joe.
Fine.
Hi, Joe. What's happening?
I had a great icky bug story that you would love.
Okay.
Back when I was a house painter on a crew and we were doing apartments that people had moved out of.
Right.
The worst ones were people that got evicted. And we went in to do this one apartment, and we went to paint the kitchen, and we had to move the refrigerator. And the refrigerator had been unplugged. When we moved it, I pulled open the freezer door, which hadn't had any freeze to it, and there was a hunk of a roast beef in there.
Oh.
And there were maggots crawling like up and down and popping, and flies came flying out. I ran out on the balcony, third floor balcony, and heaved my gut right over the edge.
Joe, that was a good story.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe Arger, ladies and gentlemen.
Just a bunch of white trash.
I like that.
We have maggots on the line.
I love that.
Joe!
Thank you, Joe.
Wonderful.
Trying to save yourself there.
That was good.
Friday, Joe.
Oh, when we come back.
Friday, Joe.
You're right, Buzz.
You know, but it's
he's lucid. He's ready to go. He's totally focused.
It's Friday 420, Joe.
Oh. That's even better. Of course it was a great story.
Like Joe on steroids.
He was ready to go.
Okay, when we come back, what do we got? Sex poll. Oh, and also news about Mike O'Mara's next professional singing gig. Yeah.
Let's get ready to sell some tickets.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Smile, you're in Mr. Smiley. Would you like to try our new beef and cheese pot pie on a stick, just $1.99 for a limited time only?
We were just at a seminar. Buddy, this is Mike.
Her husband. We've met before, but something tells me you're going to remember me this time.
Whoa. You are so busted.
You know, this really doesn't concern you.
Well, actually, Janine is senior drive-thru manager, so you kind of are on her turf. So, this makes sense.
Lester.
Honey, it's okay. I want you to be happy. Would you like Smiley sauce with that?
Lester, just stop it.
No, no. You don't get to tell me what to do. Ever again.
The Don and Mike Show.
Good.
So good.
Like foul-mouthed bobblehead dolls. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What about the vagina?
The problem is that tape is right next to this one.
What a rude little pig you really are.
Alex. Thought for that a lot of times, but I ended up with that one.
What about the vagina?
That one really should really be close to this one.
Do you have hair in your special place?
There he is, Greg House.
And hair in your special place should be next to this one.
Oh, I'd have killed him. I'm sure I would have killed him.
I don't think she has any.
Utterly horrendous.
Oh, yeah. Dear. And he doesn't have any.
Utterly horrendous.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to tell you something, okay?
What?
I've made an ass of myself trying to get you a phone to call you at a specific time.
And what does it say about, I guess it's the way that our society is. About an hour ago, well, longer than I tried to leave a message for Bart.
Right.
He's coming home from college for the weekend with his girlfriend, looking forward to that, and left him a message with a bunch of Alec Baldwin clips.
Right.
During a commercial, called up and he said, Dad, did you call? And I said, yeah, I left you a message. He said, yeah, I know you did. What did you say?
Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Don't we all do that?
We all do that. I mean, if you can, you know, have you been in the process of leaving a message and the person calls you back?
Yeah. And
that happened to me just today. That happened to me. Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I'll say, just go listen to what I just said to you.
Because you've gone through the fact that they're not answering their phone. Mm-hmm. You've taken the time to leave the message.
Yeah.
And you don't want, but the other person doesn't want to take the time to retrieve the message when they've called you. They just want you to repeat what you had said.
So he says, why did you call? And I said, I just listen to the message.
Yeah.
Well, why? What is it, Dad?
And anybody would do that. Yeah. Anybody would react like that because you're like, well, what is it? You know, and everybody gets paranoid when you say, because I've heard that too. Just listen to the message, and then you get completely freaked out because you want to know what's going on.
I know. You won't believe me, but I always listen to every message before I return any call.
Hey,
you know, just in case.
Yes. I don't believe you.
I didn't think you would. That's why I started that way.
You're nice, Buzz.
But I do. I listen to all the messages.
Hello?
Hey, hola. What's happening?
Nothing much. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Did you get a chance to hear the message?
It was really muddy, actually, but I did hear it.
You weren't able to pick it up clearly, Bart?
No, sir.
I mean, I was just discussing. Oh, that was Uncle Mike, not me.
Yes, please don't call me sir.
Yes, sir.
No. No, refer to me as you've referred to me since you were a tot.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry what?
Who?
I'm sorry, Uncle Mike.
There you go.
Welcome home, Bart.
Thank you.
Anyway, the message was a bunch of the Alec Baldwin drop-ins.
Great. Okay.
What
a rude little pig you really are.
Did you hear it that time?
Did you hear that?
I know it's going on, but I can't hear it
I guess it doesn't go well over the line.
Hmm. Hold on. Tell me, can you hear? I'm going to play some stuff that's not Alec Baldwin. Repeat what you hear now, Bart.
All right, enough! I find this whole conversation to be extremely offensive.
I find this whole conversation to be extremely offensive.
Okay, what about this one?
He prefers to be treated like a dog. And also a toilet.
I can treat something like something or like a toilet.
Huh. So he's not getting that one.
How about this one?
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
I can't even try for that one.
Okay, one more.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
I got nothing.
How about the judge from Boston Legal? This is a good time for
when you play all the time.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Is now a good time for a bowel movement?
Yep, the lower register is coming through the phone a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have a smile in your voice when you say bowel movement. You know what that is? That's the power poon thing.
Yeah.
Because you're in the car with your girlfriend, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. Gotcha.
Well, he's got to be grown up.
I understand. Yeah. All right, very good. See you when you get home. Love you.
Love you too. I'll see you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Very businessly. Have you been able to ascertain her preference in sense of humor? Because really it's starting to, you know, he's getting to the age where it's almost turning the tables now, where, you know, they're grown up enough where you've got to figure out if they like your sense of humor.
Well,
I mean, you know your son does, obviously.
I think so. I would think that you would probably like his sense of humor because he's got my sense of humor, so, and I'll say this about her, this girl that I've not met.
Right.
I do know that for his birthday, she got him a first edition of books.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That he got a gift like that.
Highly intellectual gift.
Again, that's the power of Poon, he gets a book, and rather than go, even though he likes books, mm-hmm. it's a combination of bingo and also...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a toy, but it's a grown-up gift.
Right? Sounds tremendously positive influence.
Free book?
Oh.
Free book. I've got several to do. Buy the video.
Mike?
Just want to see what volume it is.
Are you going to bring Buttman out with you on stage when you perform your next major live solo singing performance?
No, that would be inappropriate. This is
why would it be inappropriate to bring Buttman to your next gig?
Because there will be kiddies around. It is not appropriate for children. And incidentally, I've been saying Buttman. This is John Stagliano's Buttman.
That's right. He's the original.
Did you see that at the very top? It's John Stagliano's Buttman.
Yeah, but I think he's that's such a little font.
He's the real. He's the guy, though. Obviously, he's Buttman, yeah. And it's volume 8, number 5, is what I have here. But no, it'd be totally inappropriate for my next appearance in public, my next singing gig. That I, look, I didn't ask for this to happen.
Oh yes, you did.
But because of my performance with the minor league baseball team, Potomac Nationals,
lay it on us now.
Because that was such an overwhelming hit. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Yours truly has made it to the show. I'm talking about Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Next Saturday night.
Next Saturday night,
the Washington Nationals and your New York Mets.
Mm-hmm. Should be a pretty good crowd.
RFK Stadium here in D.C. First pitch at 7 o'clock, and Mike sings the national anthem.
Yes. I will be singing the national anthem at a major league sporting event for the very first time in my life.
You know what happened?
It is the realization of a dream. Mm-hmm. I know that people have auditioned for this in the past. I know that there are people that have done it. There are stars that have done it. I am not a professional singer, but it is something they have allowed me to do.
I thought you were a professional musician.
I'm a professional musician. Not a professional singer, though. I can work my way around a tune.
You sure can.
Anyway, it's next Saturday. Like, you got no time to worry and fret about this. It's a week away.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there. I've done a couple of rehearsals in my kitchen. I did one for Carla. I did a full audition for Carla in my nudity last night.
Full frontal.
Full frontal nudity.
Wow.
And it will be a very low register. You will not hear a tenor performance. You know, oh, say, that's where it starts. It starts that low, because if it doesn't start that low, then I will have a total incapability of hitting the high notes. And, you know, that national anthem of ours, not the easiest song to sing in the world.
Very tricky.
And we're all going to be there. We've all got seats behind home flight.
You know, I want to
share mic on.
I want to thank you guys for supporting me all along this journey.
Absolutely.
This idyllic journey that I've experienced from minor league to major league. And really, more than anything else, I hope it's a beautiful night at the ball yard. I hope, m'lady, that it is somehow, you know, I know it's early for this time of year to be a warm evening, but I really do hope that it's...
My lord, I have a feeling it'll be balmy.
I hope it's balmy. That
you
would be...
know!
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh,
yeah. You know!
Thanks. There's that. Thanks. That'll make it balmy.
Now it's cinched.
Like he wouldn't be there?
Yeah. Like he would
Please.
Be there.
He was an usher there when the Redskins played football there. Right.
We got some real good seats out of this deal, though. And and it is the Mets, and it should be nice.
You almost said that in double speak. We got some real good seats out of the deal.
Which is a pretty nice option.
You know, they asked Mike to sing the national anthem. And being as we do all think America's the greatest country, we said, yeah, and we got some nice tickets out of it.
So I would imagine there are tickets available for the big game. I hope there are. And
sold out already, Mike. Just sold out.
It's sold out now that I made that announcement.
It's sold out.
No, well, that's it. Sorry, you missed your opportunity. I'm very excited about this. I got to get there 2 hours early for a sound check.
Wow.
So I guess that's I have to go down and have a dry run. And
how's the wardrobe?
I don't know what to wear.
I do.
What do you think I should wear?
Tuxedo.
I will not wear a tuxedo. I'm actually, you know what I'm going to wear? I'm going to wear a Washington Nationals uniform.
I think you should go shirtless.
Really? How about the same outfit that I wore down at Club Wet? I'll wear a leather vest with no shirt on.
The Vito look.
You know what I think I'm going to wear? I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to wear. I'm going to wear a Hawaiian shirt. I mean, this is exactly how I'm going to dress. Okay. I will dress. I direct your attention to an old movie.
Dress for success.
I direct your attention to an old movie. It was The Color of Money with Paul Newman and Tom Cruise.
And Tom Cruise, sure.
It is when Paul Newman takes on the black guy that's really the big guy. Looks like a football player. And it's the outfit I will wear. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a cowboy hat. That's exactly what I'll do. No, I don't know. I'm probably just going to wear a nice pair of sensible slacks, some Santa belts.
If you wear a pair of gray pants, maybe you can get some nice ass sweat going.
Like the umpire at Wrigley Field?
Like we saw that umpire at Wrigley Field.
This is a real hot day at Wrigley Field, and we saw this umpire. And as the game went on, the ass sweat started at his belt line, and by the end, both cheeks were completely covered in moisture, and it started to go down into the area of where we do not speak.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. But I am very excited.
He was percolating.
He was percolating the whole game. But this is the big deal. This is a real...
You're nervous.
This is a real major league game. I hope I sing it well.
Look at your body language.
I'm freezing to death. That has nothing to do with it. But I am nervous. I am really nervous about that. I am truly nervous.
My lord, can I get you a rap?
Methinks milady would fetch me one of the skins we have in the west wing of the castle.
A pelt?
A pelt. Give me an elk pelt.
A pelt for milady.
A pelt.
Milady with a chill.
I'll wear that nice little wrap that Katharine Hepburn wore in some of those Elizabethan movies she did.
Well, Mike O'Mara sings the national anthem
at
a major league ballpark. Nationals and the Mets next Saturday night.
Cool. Certainly hope I don't get booed like political figures do. You know, I hope there's just a little bit of something. I'd rather be booed than have nothing, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd rather have a reaction of some kind.
Smile back if you hear that.
We'll see what happens.
What do you think? Everybody's going to hiss at him?
Think they're going to hiss Rob? That'll be Rob hissing.
Have a hissy fit.
I'm excited. Look forward to it. Thank you all for coming and supporting me.
Look forward to it.
And your arms are folded just because you're cold?
Yeah, I'm freezing.
Are you really?
Yes.
God damn.
I'm right under. See this thing right here?
Yeah.
You're not under that. I'm under that. That blows directly on me a lot of the time in a
Hawaiian shirt.
It gets very chilly. And of course, this is the first day that we've had our,
decent,
you know, that we've done the show topless. So it's.
I'd like to blow on me.
Hey.
I'd like the air to blow on me.
It's not going
to
happen because it's.
Don't get fancy.
Hi there.
But because it's making you a little bit uptight, let me try to modify my body language so that you won't be as conscious of it. All right?
No!
No!
No,
I mean,
no,
because
no,
you
no.
said I appeared to be
okay,
uptight.
You win. 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 Okay?
Go.
Mike, as we used to say, stop that.
Put that away.
Okay. Stop it. God damn. Uncle!
He's reading.
I feel like a little kid that's good. I feel like a little kid that's been pinned down by my shoulders. I'm just going, Uncle, stop it!
You know.
You know, my answer to anything is to start unbuttoning his shirt.
Well, you know, I was accused of appearing to be uptight. And,
not
it was
at all, Mike.
More out of... But don't get me wrong. By the time game time rolls around, I was nervous at the minor league ball.
I know, I'm not busting your balls. I was nervous.
I told somebody I was as nervous as anything. I don't know why.
With all the stuff we've done.
I'm less nervous for this one than I was for the Nationals game. I mean, for the Potomac Nationals.
I would be out of my mind nervous.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it's major leagues, baby.
It's the show.
It's the major freaking leagues, baby.
It is the show.
Right.
I can't wait.
If you screw up, they're going to, like, spit out their sunflower seeds.
Yeah. I mean, you get summarily booed. You know, it's like, boo! How dare you? Because it's not only you're booing because you're messing up a song. You're booing because you're messing up the United States of America.
And I'm talking about, like, the ball players spitting out their seeds at you.
Do you think, though, the ball players aren't going to, you know, the ball players don't have anything
really,
to do?
If you really screw it up.
I wonder if we're going to get a chance, like, since I have to get there early, I hope I get a chance to, like, wander around, you know, with the field and stuff. I hope so. My kids are looking forward
Remember,
to
if it goes badly, you could always push Alec Baldwin off the headline.
Boy, can you imagine if it went that badly.
No pepper.
But do you know what I remember? I remember, like, famous horrible incidents at National Anthem.
That's what I'm thinking
like
about.
Like Roseanne.
Yeah.
Robert Goulet forgot the words.
Carl, was it Carl Lewis that did was singing at a basketball game and was awful and off key and forgot the words?
Mm-hmm. The only thing I got going for me is I at least on the minor league level I have a practice session.
You've done it,
you know. But I'm not going to do the thing you guys wanted me to do. I'm doing it differently, and you're going to laugh because I'm doing it much more like singer way. I'm not going to do it like the pop. Guys, that you, remember when you told me last summer, you know, do it like, and I can't sing like that. I'm going to do the real, that's the way it's, you know, that's the way it's going to sound.
You're not going to pretend you're on American
Idol? No, because I can't sing like that. I felt like an ass singing like that.
Please.
Like, oh, say, can you see? No, I'm going to say, oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
There you go, try it now.
La, 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 la. So it's going to be a little more formal.
But you're not, you are or you are not going to beatbox?
Like Blake?
Yeah, and his bad nose.
No, I will sing much more like Bucky Covington.
And you will look much more like Bucky Covington.
Or the name that we gave him, which we will all...
Effie
Seington.
C. Wordington.
Which is a much better name.
That's a fun word to say.
Time out, Kat. See you right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's another great day for drugs. The sun is shining bright. So pass the bong and let's all get high. It's another great day for drugs.
Andy did.
It's raining hard outside. So pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high. It's another great day for drugs. My girlfriend's cat just died. So eat some shrooms and pour the beer and pass the bong and let's all get high. It's another great day for drugs. The cops keep driving by. So snort a line and eat some shrooms and pour the beer and pass the bomb and let's all get high. Loving you is very nice, but not as nice as drugs.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready for the police.
Oh, it's back to 6. Faggot.
Your source for warm. The Don and Mike Show.
Is everybody happy?
Yeah, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show.
So good.
So good. So good. Okay, I just want a quick one.
Yes.
Because as the show continues, we will be talking to... what's her name from that show we all like so bad?
Very good. Good. Excited about that.
Can't wait.
Karen Hayes.
Oh, her again?
Oh.
Well, she's been on the show last Friday. Wasn't she?
No. We were supposed to have her on the show on Monday.
No, you're supposed to have her on the show Friday, and then it was rescheduled to Monday.
And then we were supposed to have her on Tuesday.
Or Wednesday.
Or Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, she's going to be on today.
Are we sure she's not on the set?
We're running out of time.
You've got to come on their show. Anyway, no, the lady that plays Bill Buchanan's wife,
yeah,
the lady who works in the president's office
right.
on 24, we'll have her on in a couple of seconds.
My lovely wife, Karen Hayes.
And not to throw anybody into a tizzy, but you realize that in the history of make blank laugh,
right.
whether it's make Don and Mike laugh, make me laugh, make Mike laugh, make Buzz laugh, there's only one person... who's almost in the Hall of Champions.
Oh, yeah.
Today, before the end of the show, will be your last chance before we take John Norman off the shelf.
He's going to be taken off the table. You will never have another chance to make John Norman laugh. So think about it.
That's right. We're using Disney logic now.
All right.
We're putting Cinderella back in the Disney cave.
Vault. I think it's wonderful that we are giving people one last opportunity before it's gone forever.
Cinderella is available now on DVD, but hurry, kids. Tell Mom and Dad to buy it because it's going back in the Disney vault next Tuesday.
Your last chance to purchase The Lady and the Tramp before it's gone forever.
All right, that's make Yanni laugh before the end of today's show. sex quiz and...
Oh, I love a sex quiz.
My God, just a list of 8,000 different things. In brief, we've heard about Alec Baldwin today.
Yes, we have.
Right, we've played the tapes.
The whole tape.
We've analyzed them.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Right.
And I want to tell you something, okay? I've made an ass of myself trying to get you a phone to call you at a specific time.
Uh-huh. And today's the day, Friday, the 20th, as Alec Baldwin mentions in that message, where he's supposed to have the meeting with his daughter.
He's flying out. Where's he flying out to? Was he calling from New York out to L.A.?
Yes, he was. And by the way, today's visitation has been postponed.
Shocker.
Yeah. Okay, so the Alec Baldwin thing.
Does 30 Rock shoot in New York?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, they do. We discussed Alec Baldwin. Let me see. Listen, even I'm not for this. When is this going to stop? They're now not thinking about, they're actually putting the final touches on Spider-Man the Musical. Please don't do this to my Spider-Man.
What is the deal? What, for Broadway?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Please don't do this because what you're going to do is ruin what is the perfect trilogy.
You know,
I know that there are those Dungeons & Dragons guys out there that will disagree with me, but Spider-Man has absolutely been loyal to the comics and to the dream of Simon and Kirby. And we've had, and Stan Lee, we've had him on the show before. All of these guys... You don't like it when I talk serious about Spider-Man, do you?
I just chuckled. I mean, I don't like it. I laugh. I laugh because it's serious business.
The thing is,
I mean, I don't like the idea of Spider-Man the Musical, and then you launch into this whole, purity of the comics
because,
and stuff like that.
Because in the first Spider-Man, it was perfect. The second...
Well, how do you feel in the
latest one that's coming out where he's in the black suit.
Looks great.
Yeah, I think it looks good,
looks
too.
Looks to me to be, that's what I'm going to say, the perfect end to Spider-Man. I don't think there will be a Spider-Man 4.
Right.
I think that this is going to be it, that they're finally going to do it right. They're not going to muck it up.
I totally agree with you.
So this is why I'm upset. You finally did something right. You took someone out of the comics, you put him in the movies. That's not good enough for you. Now he's got to be singing.
I've even seen all the Spider-Mans, you know, and unlike some of the other superheroes, I remember Rob and I went to see one in New York and loved it, absolutely loved it. And I'm not a comic book aficionado, but these movies are really, really good. But the thing about making it into a musical, it's the same thing as Hollywood. How about an original idea?
No. Julie Taymor, who won Tony's for The Lion King, will direct. And, of course, they got to hip it up. Bono will make a song for it.
Well, I'll tell you know what? It just hit me like a bolt of lightning. Jeez. There's a reason why they're doing this. And the reason is I was part of that crowd. I was one of those guys that took my kids to see Tarzan on Broadway and The Lion King on Broadway because that's what's selling these tickets. They're selling a lot of tickets for this kind of
stuff. I'm going way into ancient history, but I remember when I was a kid, long before I knew anything about pop culture and how things worked out, there was... I do sound like I'm speaking like about Iraq or about gun control or something.
Actually, you're very serious about this.
Yeah. Let me just mellow out and say...
Take a deep breath.
Back in the 60s, they tried the same thing with Superman.
Right.
And it sucked ass.
Did they try a musical with Superman?
Yes, it was called Up, Up, and Away. And it lasted, I think, one performance.
Yeah. I can understand... Even with Tarzan, you're talking about a famous character for years and years and years. But Spider-Man is a comic book, but they'll make it work somehow. I suppose.
No, they won't. Mexico. No, they won't. And whatever you do,
no more musicals made out of comic books for Broadway, and no more Cirque du Soleil shows.
And I want to say this too about Spider-Man on Broadway, which they're going to do no matter what I say. God damn it, I'm going to sound like Alec Baldwin now. We are going to have a major problem if Matthew Broderick is Spider-Man, okay?
Would you accept Nathan Lane as Spider-Man?
There you go.
Wild card.
Can you ever turn off the funny for a moment?
How about Tommy Toon?
Have a good laugh.
Tommy Toon is Spider-Man.
He'd have
to get a really tall suit. And he'd have to have a cane.
Ha, ha, ha.
You wounded him. Serious business.
Goddamn right.
Why does Perez Hilton call Kirsten Dunst Kirsten Drunks? Does she have a reputation for getting looped a lot or what? Or is that just Perez Hilton being Perez Hilton? Kirsten Dunst prefers a different substance, as I understand it.
Really?
She had a famous quote, a widespread quote last week, saying if more people did that, the world would be a better place.
Is that marijuana?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, on 420, thanks for that factoid, Bet.
Okay, here you go. From Health Magazine.
Thanks again, Cheech. You bet.
From Health Magazine. Sex survey. They asked 1,000 women in America. This is a very recent survey. They did this in March.
Okay.
Asked 1,000 women their questions they would not want to answer publicly about sex, about what turns them on.
Hmm.
For instance, how often does the average woman have sex?
You want me to guess?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say twice a week.
Nope.
I'll say three.
The number one answer is at least once a month.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got a problem in this country.
Now, here's a contradiction. They're only having sex once a month, according to this survey in Health Magazine.
All right.
How do they answer the question, what percentage said do you use sex toys?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say 20%. Of women said they use sex toys.
Keep in mind, the number one answer, 64% was that they only have sex once a month.
Right. Okay.
45% of them say they use sex toys.
Half the women in America using sex toys.
Again, we're using the survey like it's really the genuine article.
But that turns me on that they're doing that because it means they're thinking about it.
How about this, Mike? What is the crazy...
That was Bob Eubanks' joke?
Well, that is the urban legend.
That's right, because it was a contestant
on
the
Newlywed
Game.
Number one would be a car sex in a car.
Well, that's not exact, but yeah, that would be number one.
The craziest place. And you have park, the beach,
parents' bed.
St. Patrick's.
Hospital waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rob Goodwin.
The cathedral.
Dressing room at the mall.
Ew.
On a Christmas tree lot. On a Christmas tree lot.
Cool. How romantic
got,
is that?
Got 4%.
4%? You mean so 4%? More than one person has done 4%. That?
It's
the most wonderful time of the year.
3% at a van. In a van during a family reunion.
Like dirty Shecky over
I
here.
I heard him. 2% at the Colosseum in Rome.
What?
Wow.
All right, now this survey is really starting to screw me up.
And this
with
is the
Colosseum in Rome, 2%. How many people did they survey?
1,000 women.
Were they at like a... Were they
reject a woman and she will never let it go, one of the many defects of their kind. Also weak arms.
Were they at Kennedy Airport?
And here's the last one that'll really piss you off. The male celebrity that of the sampling of 1,000 random American women. Oh, and their ages are from 18 to 49.
The male celebrity?
Who most turns them on.
Ira Joe.
Come on.
It's Ira Joe.
Ira Joe Melman.
It's not Melman, is it?
No.
It's not Melman.
No, it's not.
Ira Joe.
From CBS, the fat CBS weather guy.
If you want to enjoy him, he'll be on this weekend probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the CBS morning show this weekend.
Oh, and maybe if we're lucky, JB will be hosting. I saw him hosting a couple of weeks ago. Struggling.
Oh, dear. Okay, so the male celebrity, well,
yeah,
I would say...
We got to hit this one so we can talk to Lady from 20.
Clooney.
No. Clooney, but I'm glad you said that because the number one will piss you off. In backwards order, you have number five is Denzel Washington.
That's logical.
Number four is Brad Pitt.
Logical.
Number three is Johnny Depp.
Mm, yeah, logical.
Number two is George Clooney.
Okay.
And number one is Matthew McEffing McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey. Matthew, you know the guy.
McConaughey.
Yeah, right.
Well.
Yuck.
That sucks.
That is toilet paper.
That sucks. What's wrong with the women of America? But they're also the women that are doing it at the Coliseum.
But
that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them.
But who? You know, how can they get
the Roman Coliseum?
Hold on. That was the top five. Listen to this. Number six. Matt Damon, or as Rich Little would say, Matt Damon.
That's a good choice. I like Matt Damon, man's man.
Number seven, Pierce Brosnan.
I like him, too. Good Brosnan.
Right, I'm sorry.
A good Irishman.
Number eight, Christian Bale, you know, American Psycho. Batman.
Yes.
Number nine, Sean Connery.
Hey, Sean Connery for the old guy.
Hanging in there. There you go. Number ten, Vin Diesel.
Oh, man.
Would you like it delivered to your mansion or your yacht? Vin Diesel.
Boiler room. Rent it. Learn it. Live it. Know it.
The only really good movie he's ever been in.
Oh, come on. The Pacifier, Mike. The Pacifier.
So sorry. Quality work, my lady.
That was for Joe. Joe loves that movie. All right, my lord. When we come back, the lady from 24, her name is?
Jane Atkinson.
Atkinson.
She plays Karen Hayes.
Karen Hayes, that's who she is on 24.
Bill Buchanan's wife.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
No, don't make the wrong play, Jack. If you go down official channels, you'll end up in a hopeless maze. Markov has friends in the highest levels of the Russian government. They can protect him indefinitely. If you want to access what he knows right now, you need to go through back channels.
Back channels?
What back channels? Me. I'm your best chance to get the information you need in the time frame you need it.
What are you proposing?
That I speak to Markov, myself, in person.
Why would Markov talk to you?
Because I have leverage. Markov was involved in the conspiracy that put me where I am today. I didn't give him up. But he knows I still can.
Yeah. That creepy president we
trust you.
If you want to find Gradenko, maybe it's time you started.
Yes, Jack.
The Don and Mike Show.
You're listening to them. Good for you.
Good for
you. Don and Mike.
Right. Well. She's on the telephone right now.
What? The National Security Advisor?
You are a rude,
office, Little Piggy.
Oh, my. That was Alec Baldwin.
No, here she is from our favorite show, 24, Jane Atkinson.
Hi, Jane. How are
Hi,
you?
Jane. Hello.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hi there, Jane. Very nice to meet you. I hope you don't mind. We're obsessed with 24. We call you Karen Hayes. That's how we know you is Bill Buchanan. Bill Buchanan's gal.
And you're not the National Security Advisor. You're the Homeland Security Advisor, right?
No, I'm the National Security Advisor.
Oh, so I had it right the first time. You are the National
Security.
Yeah,
I was Security. Homeland Security last season, and then I bumped up to National Security with the new president.
You know, and well, but the real new president, old Pierce Brosnan, you don't see eye to eye with him at all, do you?
No. You mean Powers Booth?
Powers Booth, yes. I said Pierce Brosnan.
Powers
You're talking
Booth,
about
the VP? No, I do not.
Powers Booth is a fun guy. He looks like he would be a lot of fun to do those scenes with when he's playing the heavy. He does it so well.
He does it very well, and he likes what he does. He likes being the he likes what he has to say, and he likes what he does.
Jane, we love 24, and we like talking to as many cast members as we can. So we're really happy that you're with us. Can you tell us, because we're rabid fans and we're nutty about it, how it's you got a nice big bio of stuff that you've done. Are you getting the most notoriety on the streets when you go to the store now for being on 24?
You know, I'm certainly getting it in a way that I haven't in my career, where people do recognize me. But it's not crazy. But what is wonderful is how excited people get about the show. And when they do say hello, it's always exciting because people love the show so much, and they're so excited just to meet a member of the cast, and that's exciting for me. Especially as far as my career goes, it's the most fun I've had doing a show, and when people talk to me, it's exciting because I love it so much.
I would imagine you do such a good job of conveying the strength of this woman, Karen Hayes. I would imagine that women that talk to you about it on the street that come up to you would be very pleased with the way women are being portrayed on this show.
Yes, I am, actually, and I think that that's also been very rewarding for me as an actress, is that people really, really respond to this character, and it's very wonderful to be on a show that's really a guy show and play a strong woman, but not, you know, she's not... I mean, some people would say she was a biatch and she's too strident, but I think that I've played enough colors that she's also incredibly intelligent. She's got a lot of heart.
Well, you know, I don't think you do. I mean, you say, you know, she plays, you know, it's the biatch, but no, I don't see that because you have that that part of your character that really does have the softer side that you see a lot of on the show.
A lot of it is the way that we treat women in our society. If a woman is successful and has big balls, she's a bitch. You know what I mean? It's like Martha Stewart. Well, she's a bitch because she does business the same way Donald Trump does. Donald Trump has held up and said he's a champion of industry. Martha Stewart is a bitch. So,
you know, we've been fortunate enough to have a number of people from 24 on the show, but I don't think we've ever gotten a chance to ask them how much or do you have any creative control over over your dialogue? Do you get a chance to tweak it a little bit? Do you get a chance to say, hey, I don't think Karen Hayes would say this.
I
think she would say that.
They're phenomenal about that. They really are, because, you know, they have to write an episode, you know, every week kind of thing. And they're focused on the Jack Bauer storyline. And sometimes they are not able to give as much attention to the more cursory characters. And so they love it when we say, hey, how about if I say this? Or, you know what, I think this would make me sound stronger and we're losing a little bit sight of blah, blah, blah. And they just love it when we're on it like that. And they really allow us to do that. They allow
That's
us
cool.
to write for ourselves. They allow us to develop our character. It's really fantastic.
I know that you're not allowed to talk about the plot. We would not ask you about that because you're sworn to secrecy and maybe you don't know. But I'll ask you something that I mean half in jest and half seriously. Your character is married to
Bill Buchanan, right?
Bill Buchanan.
Yes.
Okay. Now, how come we never see any hot action between you two?
I'm trying. It's hard to do that on the phone. It's hard to do that in the middle of a national crisis on the phone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you guys really are never in the same room, are you?
No, and you know, things can be done, but I think that there was a scene that last week or the week before where he made me laugh. You know, I say, thank you so much for being there. And he goes, it's my job, and I laugh. That's the closest you've gotten to any kind of romance.
Like, do you think that there's any chance that, like, your character has phone sex with him?
There might be, but you know what? You're never going to see it.
Oh, you're never going to see it. That's that is a shame.
Are you still filming this season's episodes? We were supposed to have you on last week, and as it turns out, you were filming scenes. Are you guys done with this year's filming?
Or? I'm finished shooting, but they are still going.
That's got to be... Go ahead.
They're done May 2nd.
That's got to be rewarding, because we know that the schedule's pretty grueling when you're doing that show. What do you do? Are you going to do other stuff? Or are you going to just have some downtime? What are you doing?
I have a couple of things going on. I have a couple of films that I'm going to be doing in off season, and of course, we never know if we're coming back or not. Depends what Jack, you know, what's going to happen to Jack. But I'm hoping to come back for a little bit or for the season next year, but I don't know. So, and I have a wonderful little boy who's actually in the car with me. His name is Jeremy, and he's sitting quietly in the back.
Oh, how old is Jeremy? How old is Jeremy?
Jeremy is 8. You want to say hi, Jeremy? Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi,
buddy. We both have laryngitis.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
We will keep you.
And so I'm taking him to the doctor actually as we speak. So you see,
oh, that's
Karen
nice.
Hayes, national security advisor and mother of an 8-year-old.
Yeah, very nice of you to come on the show. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. And I want to say something. I really appreciate you asking me about my character, because oftentimes it's all about Jack and the plot and all kinds of things, which is important too. But it's nice that you made it about me.
Oh, well, listen, we love all of the characters.
Yeah, we're five. We're 5 inches and, from the TV screen every week.
And we feel like you. It's like we have the characters that we like, and we like them to come back. We didn't like it, and obviously it was done that way. We didn't like it when Edgar was killed off. We wondered.
Oh, my God, was that the saddest thing?
That was sad.
You know, and sometimes,
that was so sad. I don't know how anyone recovered from that, truthfully.
The thing about 24 is that while it is Kiefer Sutherland's show, all of you other guys on the show are so fantastic. Like when we had the guy on who's President Logan. He was blown away by the fact that we practically gave him a prostate exam. We were so excited to have him on the show.
Yeah.
So you all should know that your performances are just as loved as Jack Bauer.
Oh, absolutely. Amen. For the true fans of the show, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you guys do a great job.
You're great. So go take care of your kid, and thanks for being on our show.
Thank you, and thanks so much, guys. Okay.
Thank you, James.
Nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's another cool person from 24. They've all been, they're all so mellow.
Got to be a great set.
They're very mellow. But you know why they are? I think, you know, when she said, and I'm going to take my little break, I'm going to do my two movies, and then hopefully they'll have me back. That would drive me insane.
Yeah.
That would really drive me nuts.
And if I'm not mistaken, she's been on how many, like 2 years?
Yeah,
like,
right.
She's been on like, what, 25 episodes, something like that?
I think she's coming back. I'm reasonably sure. But she doesn't know. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you leave, you get done doing your stuff, and it's like, okay, well, we'll probably see you next year. Take care.
And they might even say to you, maybe we'll see you, and you're sitting on your couch scratching your ass, and all of a sudden they say, hey, guess what? We decided to throw you back into the mix.
Right,
yeah.
Right, because you were injured or you went off somewhere. You know, we can only hope.
I should have asked her why they effed up the ending this year, though.
Oh, well, it's too early to tell, don't you think?
I still think that the whole thing with Fayed and finding the suitcase bombs this early was kind of a premature PE ending.
But don't you think they've proven again and again and again that they pull it out, they figure out some way to turn the plot around so that we start getting interested again? I think the plot was so good with the suitcase nukes that we actually lost interest now with this, but they'll do something to spice it up.
I hope so, because even when I watch Fox and I see a promo like for this week's 24,
right,
it's all, at least right now, the whole point is, will Jack save Audrey?
Right.
I was like, screw it. One woman's life or everybody in America's life?
I know. And perhaps, what if Audrey is simply a pawn? Maybe she's working with the Chinese. Come in, Mr. Bauer.
Oh, and I was watching a clip show. When was it? 2 or 3 days ago, someone called us and said the bad Asian guy on 24 was the guy from Seinfeld when they couldn't get in the restaurant.
Right.
It was just dumb luck. I was watching that Seinfeld clip show the other night with all the best moments, and God damn, yeah, from the first season.
That's right.
Where they're all staying. It's him. And he says, it's not?
It's not. I did it. I IMDb'd it.
Are you kidding me? I was positive.
I was
Rob, I know it's going to sound this way. It looks just like him.
They're perhaps they're related, but they are not the same person.
Oh,
I did. I
really?
Did, yeah. And that's when I also found out that God bless it. Key Luke is dead. I thought he was alive.
And Key Luke was on what show?
He was. He did every character role available. He died in 91, but most notably the voice of the Amazing Chan.
The Amazing Chan.
I thought
who
he
are
was
we talking about again. I'm talking about somebody that I thought was
the maitre d' in the Chinese restaurant.
Okay, said is the leader of the Chinese guy that tortured Jack Bauer.
Well, he sure. Someone called us last week and said that it was the guy, and I watched it on Cyber. So okay, wasn't the guy.
But they do look alike.
But who's the guy you're talking about?
The guy. I thought that was Key Luke who played the maitre d'. I was wrong on that. Key Luke was in the old Charlie Chan.
And on Hawaii 5-0, who are the guys that played?
Oh, there's just one guy. Cam Fong is Chin Ho.
And the guy on Barney Miller was?
Jack Sue.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And, of course, Bobby Lee.
And who is the guy that we just had on?
Steve Byrne.
Steve Byrne,
who looks like the Asian Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Asians We Have Known.
Jack Sue was cool Asian. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, here we go, baby.
Flower drum song.
Join us on Monday when once again we'll talk about all things made in Japan.
Unforgettable.
Or vicinity. Vicinity, although he's Chinese.
It's the whole made in Japan thing.
Things Asian. Because it could be anywhere. It could be China, Japan.
Right. Korea.
Anywhere throughout the Orient.
We will go to see your auntie, okay?
Mike, it's time. Enough of just flapping our gums.
Have we stalled enough?
Yep.
All right.
We can put it off no longer.
It's going to have to happen, and I... Here's the deal. I'm going to surprise you.
Yep.
I'm not optimistic today.
We have a guy on the show, our producer, John Norman, and we got a bit called Make People Laugh. Everyone on the show has played this game, and everyone eventually, after at least two appearances, has cracked. We have had John Norman on Make Johnny Laugh 5 friggin' times.
And it never seems to work.
Nobody has made him laugh.
No. Unflappable.
Today, I'll turn that off now. Give the dramatic effects. It is your last chance.
Your chance to make John Norman laugh will be gone forever.
We're taking him off the market.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start playing it over again with people who know how to laugh.
That's right. If we have to.
Not to put the pressure on John.
Nope. There's hope.
Who I think has laughed before in his lifetime.
I've seen him laugh. He laughs when someone hurts themselves.
Yes.
That's when he's the guy. If somebody falls down a flight of stairs, there's a little tip for you.
Like, ask him what his favorite comedy is. A little thing called Faces of Death.
Yes, he enjoys that. He especially enjoys it when the person is eaten by the crocodile.
So the deal is, you call and you say a joke, you have a witticism,
you have a story.
If you make John laugh, that's all you got to do is make him laugh. You'll finally break the curse. We can move on to another member of our cast.
That's right.
And you will get 100 shiny $1 bills.
If you can make John Norman laugh, you will break the curse, and we will all get the talisman.
And is there a bonus point for bad cell phones during this game?
As always, Robbie.
So,
what can I say?
It's a historic day on the show.
877-365-3636. But you pigs already knew that. Now, didn't little thing here. We've made an ass up.
Don't disappoint us, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, this bit doesn't work. Friday, April 20th,
they're taking you out.
To hear your next message, press 2.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
Yeah.
He is.
That was Kim Basinger.
Okay, make Yanni laugh. You know it. We've set it up. Last chance. Last chance for civilization.
Good luck to you.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Silly of me, I was looking for it before. We found it. The Katie Couric radio moment of the day.
Katie Couric's notebook.
Hi, everyone. Well, here's the bad news. I turned gay yesterday. And here's the good news. I turned gay yesterday. Halfway to being honored by fuckers like Willard Scott, I've approached this with some ambivalence. Proud of what I've done, grateful I'm still here, but feeling a little out of it in our obsessed culture. We can combine the excitement of gays with the wisdom of our experience. Do I wish I had a 23-year-old? That's so retarded. Absolutely not. But is it a change for the better? There are days it feels like f***ingness is similar to having a jackhammer in my brain. But when I look in the mirror and see that unacceptable behavior is having its way with me, I do take comfort in knowing that I'd love that. But our spirit never changes, as Frances Weaver wrote in a book called The Girls with Hearing Problems. It really is true. It's what's on the inside that counts. And for the next 50 boys, I'm going to keep working on having a jackhammer in my brain. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
It's an interesting one there.
It's a good one. The Don and
Mike Show. Wow.
That's so gay.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Katie.
Their show is Novelty Store Big. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I am going to get on a plane, and I'm going to come out there for the day, and I'm going to straighten your head out.
Yeah. Clowns the left of me. Something else to the right of me.
You know, hear this?
Stuck in the middle with you.
Think about Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. That horrible scene. That horrible, scary scene.
Rob song. Stuck in the middle with Jews.
Hey.
One of his crazy parody songs.
He enjoys that.
There's
so much.
Jews at my table.
There's Jews at my table.
Well, I think you and I have done everything we can to loosen the room up, Mike.
I think it was a great warm-up, my lord and m'lady, and I think it's thick, and we're ready to go with the... With Phil, fresh off his appearance on American Idol.
Phil? The Lord says it and it happens. Here we go. The guy with the retarded ears from American Idol. John Norman. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
He'd have to darken his eyebrows a little bit.
And
if you darken your eyebrows.
A little more off the top.
Well, obviously, you'd have to shave the head, but you darken the eyebrows, you'd look like Phil a little bit more.
Now,
thanks, I think.
Here's the deal. If you don't laugh, never get to play this game again. I know that that will be no great loss to you.
Yeah, you don't care.
And we do care.
We don't want to put any pressure on you. We want fake laughter.
No, I would never do that.
And really, yeah, and that's the best part of this, is the fact that you're a tough nut to crack with this, but you have never faked it, and we wouldn't want you to do it today either.
So, without further ado, Robbie put 10 minutes on the clock.
It starts with the first contestant.
Here we go. For maybe the last time ever,
you either.
Make Yanni laugh. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Feeling a little sad today. I guess you heard about the accident Lorraine Bobbitt was in, got killed in the car accident.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Some dick cut her off.
No one blames you there, John.
Boy,
hello.
I tell you, it looks, you know. They're timely.
The
timely start.
You are never to blame.
Except yes.
Hello, Don and my show. Make Yanni laugh.
Hi, Johnny. Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Let's talk about your titty tats and maybe we can have some cocoa.
Weren't you Elmo yesterday?
Hello, Don and my show. Make John laugh.
I thought that's...
Hello.
Hi. What does a gay horse eat?
Hey.
Hello, Don and Mike.
He's
show.
A little too well.
I just love when John does his gay thing.
I like it when he gets bitter, too. It's wonderful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What is that?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, you rude little pig. Go ahead.
How are you?
How are you?
Walking.
It's Christopher Walken.
I want to tell you a joke, Johnny. You better laugh while stabbing in the face with a starting.
Okay. That's horrible.
You know, we love the concept.
Yeah, I love anybody that tries to do Christopher Walken. I have a tremendous amount of respect for
it. We love the concept behind
right,
it. But
man.
The execution stinks.
Just watch, little man, I give to you.
Like what John McKay once said about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after they went 0-26.
What did he say?
After the game, he said, seriously, what do you think of his execution? He said, I'm for it. He really
good.
Said that.
What a rude little pig you really
like, hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Yanni laugh.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, what'd the Mexican say when the house fell on him?
Oh.
Get off me, Holmes.
Okay.
Ooh. That made me laugh.
That was a delayed little chuckle
get
on
off
my
me
part.
Holmes.
Holmes.
That's not bad.
I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Johnny laugh.
Johnny.
Yes.
What do you call a garbage bag full of chopped up leckies?
Lunch?
Reese's Pieces.
Oh, the kind of joke that can really, like, wreck the next three jokes.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Johnny laugh.
Johnny.
Hello.
Guy walks into a bar on a Monday after work, sits down, orders a shot of Jack Daniels, pounds it down, pays the bartender. Comes back Tuesday, orders two shots of Jack. 2-2. Boom, boom. Pays him. Wednesday, same thing, orders three shots. Boom, boom, boom. Thursday comes in, orders four shots. Same bartender. Pounds them all down.
Bye!
On behalf of everybody who sat through one of those things. Really. Do it three times, not four times, right. Not five times.
Right.
Okay?
You went just long enough where I feel a sense of loss.
Hello there. Don
Hello.
And Mike. Don and Mike, hello.
Thank you for having me. A guy walks into a bedroom with a sheep under his arm, looks at his wife, and says, "This is the pig I've been effing." The sheep, not a pig. The
I'm
guy says, "I wasn't talking to you."
Variation of the joke.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, yo, John.
Hello.
Hello, how do you stop three black kids from jumping on the bed?
Velcro on the ceiling.
You the man.
Oh, yeah, you the man.
You're the man.
For knowing that.
Hello, Jesus.
Don and Mike,
you're awesome.
Hello. I say that all the time.
Don and Mike show. Make Johnny laugh.
Johnny.
Hello.
Hey, what do you call the fatty tissue around the vagine?
A woman.
God, please, we all like settle it. It's like
paddle. Yeah.
Usually when a joke starts, Johnny, all right. Here we go. That's usually a sign the joke's not going to be good.
The answer's always a woman.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead. Make Johnny laugh.
Why Polish people don't eat Polish-style dill pickle?
Why Polish people don't eat Polish-style dill pickle?
They have dozen fish.
You are.
A woman.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Thank you, Rob. Hello. Make Johnny. Hello.
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 It's you, sir.
This show is
on myself. Ah. If for
Hello.
Hello, Johnny.
You know hello, time? This is the third time. Please.
Time is too valuable. Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, guys. How do you find the Arabian finding sheep in tall grass? Very satisfying.
No. If you're cutting off the three shots, this guy does not deserve to start at the straight
he's
line.
He's gone.
Is he,
oh, he's very hung up on it.
I'm watching your finger in sync.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I understand.
Excuse me, what was that, Robbie?
I said 5 minutes.
Hello.
Make Johnny laugh.
Hi, I understand Tinkle the Musical is number one on Broadway.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry. It was Rob. I was still laughing at Rob.
Back.
Hello, Don and Mike.
How can you tell when a mechanic has just had sex?
How?
It's one of his fingers is clean.
Hello, Don and Mike show. John?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, hold on.
You heard about the new Power
no.
movie?
Hold on. That was that a laugh or not?
That was delayed. I'd give it to him if he was still there.
He did laugh. Oh, No.
Hold on.
Doesn't count. It's not fair. No, he's not giving it for that. No.
He turned around. He turned his back to us, and he was smiling.
You were laughing
at
Rob.
I didn't want to look at Rob.
Suppressing. He was laughing at Rob.
Okay.
I need to find a better angle here somewhere.
Hi,
Buzz.
I want to play the game fair. Did John laugh or not?
No.
No, okay.
Not at that joke.
Hello.
I want to play the game fair, too.
Make Johnny laugh.
Okay. Two cannibals are eating a clown. One cannibal looks at the other and says, "Does this taste funny to you?"
Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Johnny laugh.
Hello?
Yeah.
Here's our first real bad cell phone.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, Johnny laughs out of people's misery. And,
are you on a speaker?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, guys. This is your old buddy pal, Smokey, here. Letting you know you can make some extra money by donating sperm.
Bye!
Bye, Jamie.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, the other night my wife and I were in bed, and she was talking about the smell of sex, so I asked her to describe it to me. And then when she got done, I asked her, "Well, what does the sex on the beach smell like?" She said, "The same, just with little sea air."
Okay, hello, Donna.
Whoa!
See you in Toledo. Hello.
What kind of socks do pirates wear?
Argyle socks.
I like the reaction.
Three minutes. 180 seconds. Hello, Donna. Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, you've no doubt heard of the show called The Vagina Monologues. My vagina claims it's a street for Spain. But I found out last week that there's another show.
Trying to be a shock jock is what he was doing.
Well, you know, it was something different. He was trying to shake it up.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Yeah. Hello.
Hey, John, you ever feel like you're stealing from your employer?
I'm sorry?
John, do you feel like you're stealing from your employer? Your job is obviously easy. It's so easy Rob could do it.
Okay.
Huh? I don't understand.
Like the joke.
You know, and again, they were trying. These are listeners are trying
a different angles.
An avant-garde approach.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Aw. Rob.
You can't win, Rob. Stop it.
Hello. No,
make John laugh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Is it me?
Oh,
no, it's not anymore.
Location.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, yo.
Hi. A guy goes to golf.
What?
A guy goes to a golf pro for golf lessons, and the guy says, "Let me see you swing the club a couple times." So he hits a couple shots. And the guy says, "You're holding the club way too tight. Hold it like you're holding your wife's breasts." And he does that, and he hits the shot like 100 yards further than he usually hits it. So he says, "This is great. I'm going to send my wife to you for a golf lesson as well." Next day, his wife comes for a golf lesson, and the guy says,
"Life is too short!"
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
We don't have much time.
Hello. You know, we all have limited attention span.
Hi, guys. I want to make Johnny laugh. Here we go. What's the only way to make 5 pounds of fat look good?
What's the only way? Your phone dropped out. Start again, please.
What's the only thing that makes 5 pounds of fat look good?
What? Your makeup?
A nipple.
A what? Oh, she said a nipple. No, I was going to say her makeup.
Oh. A nipple, no?
It's a breast joke.
1 minute!
We're down to the last minute, everybody.
Hello,
Don and Mike Show.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting pirate.
Not a chance, buddy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, John.
Hello?
What did Teamsters and sperm have in common?
I can only imagine.
Thousands can show up, but only one of them works.
And that John has resorted to is his old style of answering the straight lines.
Can't you play a long ass?
No, I'm a humorless ass. Remember, humorless F.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're awesome, though. Hello.
Can I get hear me?
No.
Can I hear me?
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Johnny laugh.
Hey, John.
Oh, dear.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. John.
Yeah.
Michael Mara, he walks in to get an anal exam.
But let's not talk about that. Let's think about having some cocoa. Yeah.
Almost back.
That's the second time that guy called in.
Okay.
And like I said the first time, that sucked.
The time is up.
Time.
Yeah.
The time is up.
Time. Officially, we're out of time.
I'm a horrible failure.
It's not your fault.
One more person a chance, and we will play for it 10 times the amount. $1,000
gambler.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
I don't know. Why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Because he was dead.
Well,
and sadly,
$1,000 is safe. Sorry, folks.
Sadly, oh, shut up, you bitch. Sadly, we have
no winner. And I feel satisfied. Somehow I feel satisfied.
Johnny Laugh. John, congratulations. Yeah. You are going into the Hall of Champions.
I don't know. Is it really a champion or is it more of a Hall of Shame?
I don't think it's your shame. I think, except, you know, really, I'm not sure the last times we played this game if anybody would have won. Rob.
I disagree.
Rob won a couple of times.
I think any of us would have won, Mike.
You think it's done? So you're placing the blame?
You got to come in with the right attitude. I mean, like, for instance,
it's John's fault.
Is it me or is this funny?
You're right. That is funny.
You ever heard this?
Yeah, I think it sucks.
How about one more, John?
All right, let's give it a try.
If we're playing Disco Duck, we got to have a good chance, right?
With rigged disease.
That's the table.
$2,000.
Oh my God.
Now.
Oh.
I'm not going to laugh.
I'll just cut it off right there before the real funny part of that song so you don't start laughing.
Thank you.
We all will, too.
Appreciate it.
Hold on. I'll do it just so you'll be in a mood to laugh.
Let's go, Mama.
There you go.
Mama.
Here
Mama.
We go.
Really? This is it. 2 grand. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Alec Baldwin. John, you miserable little pig. What? Laugh at me.
The money's safe.
Yeah. Totally safe.
The money is safe.
Mm-hmm.
There he goes. John, we have no malice in our heart towards you.
None.
I would not have laughed at that either.
Not at all.
Hey, John? Yeah, Robbie.
Can you play a little more of the funny part?
Of course.
What, a disco duck?
Jesus Christ, Rob.
All right, that's gone from make Johnny laugh not working to me being in a bad mood for the weekend.
Hey, Rob.
Yes?
You want to hear the part where they sing disco?
Oh, the girls?
Disco duck?
I like that.
Yeah. Disco. Oh, that's funny. I like rape.
Now that's funny.
I like rape. I like rape. I like rape. I like rape.
Okay, stop. Weekend liftoff.
Rick Cheese.
All right, no winners.
That's how it goes. That's the motto on the Don and Mike Show. You'll get nothing and you'll like it.
Back in the hopper.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Time for the news.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell you something, okay?
Yeah.
I made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone to call you at a specific time.
Right. Do you have anything new about him?
Just a little.
Okay, but, good.
Good.
Then we'll talk about Alec Baldwin with Charles in the news when we come back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Stand by for spontaneous mediocrity with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
One thing I did not do on today's show I meant to do is say hello to a guy named Dave, who listens to us on the internet in Salt Lake City every day. I know this because I played him in Xbox Live today in Madden. After I gave out my gamer tag the other day, I must have got like 30 brand new friend requests.
Right.
And a lot of them are audio requests where I get to actually hear the voices of all the people that listen to our show who sound like Napoleon Dynamite.
Right. Hello.
Where's like,
oh, Don, can't believe you really give out your gamer tag. Can I be on your friend's list?
Dumbass.
All right, feel like I want to
go. So anyway, I'm playing Xbox today, and it's this guy, Dave, and anyway, I got to mention this because I told him that I would.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fantastic game. I was the Colts. He was the Ravens. As Peyton Manning, I went 21 of 24.
Wow.
I threw 3 interceptions that he ran back for touchdowns.
Oh, so you lost.
I threw an interception on the 2-yard line that he ran back 98 yards. I threw one on the 4-yard line that he ran back 96 yards.
Ouch.
And I threw one in the end zone that he ran back 103 yards.
Ooh, what was the final?
28 zip.
Oh!
28 zip.
So with all that passing success, nothing in the end zone.
Hats off to you, Dave.
You get a little overeager when you get down near in the red zone, Don?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you get to that thing where you put someone in motion.
Right.
And you think you're going to fool him, and he pretends like he's been fooled. But really, he hasn't been fooled.
Oh, okay.
And
so he
so
got you that
stupid.
Way.
Yeah. Anyway, I told him to give him a shout out. There you go, Dave. You kicked my ass.
Did you wear the headset with him?
No.
Because then you'd hear him say, I'm running it back again.
I feel like I want to.
He's super.
He is.
Like, you know, the first time, okay.
102 yards.
The first, it was like this. First time, okay.
Uh-huh.
Second time, Christ. The third time, this is the controller.
Right.
Oh, all the way across the room with a controller.
That reminds me, I got to buy the Guitar Hero.
Right, that's another.
What is it, Don? I mean, just so I know what I'm looking for. It's you buy the guitar.
It's a big ass box.
It's a big ass box.
It's
okay,
it's all in there. Gigantic box.
Very good. It's all in there.
It's all there.
But
all
you right. need a box also of moist wipes.
Moist towelettes goes without saying.
And now here's Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Don.
How are you, Buzz?
I'm well, thank you. Alec Baldwin, however, is apologizing for losing his temper.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, wow. I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
But Alec says he's also sorry that a court order was violated. That's a reference to the visitation rules for the daughter he has with ex-wife Kim Basinger.
I don't give a damn that you're 12 years old or 11 years old or that you're a child or that your mother is a thoughtless pain in the ass. I'm going to really make sure you get it.
Baldwin says, despite what you hear there, he has a normal relationship with his daughter. He lost his temper, and he says for that he's sorry. Quoting Alec, everyone who knows me privately knows certain people will go to any lengths to embarrass me and disrupt my relationship with my daughter.
You have insulted me for the last time.
I have been driven to the edge, says Alec. He goes on to say, in such public cases, your opponents attempt to take a picture of you on your worst day and insist this is who you are as a person. Baldwin says, once his book is published, he's sure everyone will understand.
Oh, man. I mean, this guy, he's so skilled at the denial, and that to me is what just shows. They're both effed up in this. They both need to get some help and get this together. I mean, really, for the sake of their kids, if it's not too late already.
I never thought I'd say this. Why don't you just give that kid to Angelina Jolie?
Really?
She's going to end up with him anyway, right?
You know, Kim Basinger's not getting any of the press in this. But you know, there's truth to what he's saying.
You know.
As I told you earlier today, my thought was, who leaked it to TMZ.com?
Right.
Well, it's got to be Kim Basinger.
Of course it is.
I mean, KB.
Now, you can yell at Alec Baldwin for what he said.
Right.
How about her as Mother of the Year?
Mm-hmm.
She hears this, and immediately she says, ooh, I got to leak this to a website.
How long have they been going through World War III? I mean, it's been a long time.
I'll check on that. I don't know how long it's been.
Astonishing, really.
Really. Mm. I mean, I'd say to both of them, is any piece of ass worth it? Because that's obviously why each of them married the other.
He's asking that.
He's
now
a piece of ass. She's a piece of ass.
Yeah, but once they have the kids, all bets are off. They gotta suck it up.
Yeah,
they gotta suck it up and stop being selfish and just deal with it.
We can only hope.
You know, you can always. That's what your male friends are for. If you're divorced, you know, you can always bitch to the other person all you want.
Vent to them.
There's plenty of room to vent.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Wow, my daughter. Sanjaya,
my daughter.
In the house, the 17-year-old boy voted off American Idol this week, gets 16 minutes of fame. People Magazine is getting Sanjaya Malakar into tomorrow night's White House Correspondents' Dinner.
He's a fag. Homo.
What do you say?
Oh, no.
I'm sure Sanjaya at the White House will attract far more attention than Idol loser Ace Young did last year.
What about me? I was just going to say, I'm sure Rich Little will not even have a freaking clue who Sanjaya is.
That's Sanjina. Sanjina and Matt Damian. Come to Canada with me.
Sanjaya.
Yeah.
There was another, of course, far more infamous name in the news this week, Cho Sung-hui, or as his grandpa referred to him, that son of a bitch. Back in South Korea, Grandpa Kim has seen Cho's gun pictures, the ones we've seen too often. Quoting 82-year-old Kim Hyang-sik, it serves him right he died with his victims. Kim's sister, Yang Sun, repeatedly called the boy a son of a bitch and an a-hole. She used the word. She says Cho that's her now. She says he never showed any feelings or emotions and rarely spoke. At the age of 8, she says he was diagnosed as autistic. Quoting an uncle, he wasn't like a normal kid. Duh.
You know, hold on a second.
Kind of weird. It's a very weird response.
The autism thing is now a new crazy wrinkle in this.
Yeah, that seems to be the condition of the day, too.
And I understand, by the way, his parents are being provided with protection somehow by somebody.
I heard at one point they were in the hospital.
South Korean embassy or consulate.
Oh, really?
But they are being kept away from the public. And another day, another nut, the NASA building at the Johnson Space Center in Houston was under lockdown today after an armed man who works for a contractor fired shots and barricaded himself inside the building. A bomb squad and SWAT teams are on the scene. Nothing has been resolved yet.
Uh-oh, jungle!
As we know.
Yeah, put more of that stuff on TV.
A lot of mothers do have a favorite child when they're having more than one. A new poll by Woman's Day magazine shows that about one out of every six mommies admit they have one they love more than the others. 6% of the mothers surveyed said if they had it to do over, they wouldn't have kids. 26% said they would have waited longer. 2% say they're bad mothers. Shut your mouth, but I'm talking about mom. And 17% say they were raised by bad mothers. While 83% of moms...
Hi, I just put my hand up there.
Yeah, there you go.
Raise your hand if you're raised by a bad mother.
Hey, speaking of mothers and speaking of this weekend, let me take this opportunity to wish my mom happy 87th birthday.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Mary.
And 37 years. She is now the oldest volunteer at the hospital up there in Hartford,
and
Connecticut.
Still going strong.
Still does 3 days a week. So good for her.
Hair in your special place.
Was,
hold on a second. I did Mike, no. Hold on. That was. I swear to Christ. I was looking for the 101-year-old woman.
Oh, I'd have killed him.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would.
That's what I was. I know your mom has hair on her special place.
Wait a minute. I didn't fix it.
Take my beautiful little moment.
I didn't mean that.
Continue on, Bud.
I know you didn't.
Wow.
It's been a long week.
Well,
look at me, idiot boy, laughing over here. Oh, I'm
well, what else
hell.
Can you do?
What can you do? Happy birthday, Mom.
83% of the moms say they want their kids to get good educations and good jobs. Only 12% chose getting married and having kids for their kids. By the way, this is the Mother's Day edition of Woman's Day magazine.
Mother's Day.
Well,
there is nothing to worry about. You are your mom's favorite.
Right?
I don't know.
Oh, please.
If it was, hey, if it was time spent and you know, as far as, like, taking care of her and doing stuff, my sister would be lapping me. Mm. You know, Kathy's coming up again this weekend for, you know, to take her out on her birthday.
I think your mom sees that for what it is, though.
You're too funny.
I'm on your side.
It's totally insincere. You're right.
Right.
It's a big plot.
Your sister's a
big plot to get her inheritance.
She's doing a charade.
To get her money.
Uh-huh.
To get all her land.
Show.
And all her possessions.
All you're doing is down here, you know, slaying the dragon every night. What's your hottest ball sister doing? Just trying to impress your mom.
That's all she's ever done. Oh, my dysfunctional family.
That's right, Mom. I'm taking you out to lunch. What's Mike doing? Well, oh, that's right. Just the job he's been doing for 22 years.
Thank you, Mom.
Have a happy day. Have a happy birthday weekend.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid yesterday declared that the war in Iraq is lost. He says the surge isn't working and that the 184 lives lost in Baghdad yesterday proves that.
Hey, let's hear from John McCain.
Now, never mind if they get a nuclear weapon.
Iran.
When do we send them an airmail message to Tehran?
Yeah, I know it's not the same thing, but I just wanted a chance to play John McCain.
Oh, yeah.
That old Beach Boys song, Bomberan.
Good move, jackass.
Dumbass.
Yeah, keep forgetting that everybody in the freaking world has a telephone now with a camera on it. Just keep saying anything stupid, and then when you're asked about it, John McCain say, 5 years ago, no one would have heard that.
Like, no.
That was his response.
Yeah. Right, that was his response.
5 years ago, no one would have heard that.
Bomb, Iran.
Okay, so the war that we are in, with Iraq.
Yes,
not with Iran.
Harry Reid declaring that it's over. No, it's quite all right. Actually, that fit very well. But Harry Reid says, as far as that lost the war declaration, Bush Republicans are reacting by saying that's not what they're hearing from our military commanders. Now, President Bush gave Letterman plenty of new video this week for Dave's Great Moments in Presidential Speeches feature. At a state town hall meeting in Ohio...
Suck on that, losers.
The president talked about the rug in his Oval Office and how it resembles a sunburst. On the subject of jobs and immigration, he said, quote, there are jobs Americans aren't doing. If you've got a chicken factory, a chicken plucking factory, or whatever you call them, you know what I'm talking about. If you do own a chicken plucking factory, please call us and tell us. The comparisons between Iraq and Vietnam brought the quote, death is terrible.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
But Bush still thinks we'll succeed in Iraq. Quoting the president again, remember the rug?
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
He's
such a coolie head.
You know what somebody told me about him, and I never did. Maybe this has been written. Maybe this is not a new, insight into George Bush.
He's our most awesome president ever.
When he walks, he does that cowboy walk.
Yeah.
With his hands out, almost like he's got six shooters. If you look at him, he walks like a cowboy walking down the middle of the street in Tombstone.
Yeah, I gotta get a picture of him in my mind, other than him in Joan Crawford, Texas, because I know when he's in.
He always kind of.
I know when he's in Joan Crawford, Texas.
Right.
He definitely has that move going.
He's doing. He does that like when he's walking down the hallway into making a presidential address. You'll see him with his hands out wide, almost like he's covering his little six shooters. Something to watch in the future.
Yeah, I'll watch for that. Now, as for how history will view President Bush, W says
awesome.
No, he says the jury's still out on George Washington. Quoting Bush, my attitude is if they're still writing about one, 43 doesn't have to worry about it.
He's been saying that for years.
Oh, is that his standard line?
Yeah.
Haven't we pretty much already decided that George Washington was a pretty good president?
Was okay, I thought.
Kind of the father of our country.
General consensus.
Did a nice job across the Delaware, won, played a nice part in getting our country free.
He's on the money.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, literally, he's
the money president.
He's on
Look at that monument we have down in D.C. I mean, it's fantastic.
I would say that the decision's been made. He passed the must. The muster.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't be.
And they're still writing about him, but they're writing the same stuff about him.
Right, that he was good.
Yes. It is April 20th, after all, and a new study says the active ingredient in marijuana. Well, I'll tell you when we get back.
Okay. Thank you, Busby. Did you freaking lose your place?
No.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
I wouldn't have sex with you if I was starving and your wiener was a ham sandwich.
Living in a scratch and dent world, Don and Mike.
Oh, is that a fantasy to do it with a pregnant chick? It's like having sex with a fat chick, except I can't get her pregnant.
Oh, welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the show. Hi, everybody. This is the news.
And once again, here's our friend Guy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Yes, it is 420, and a new study says the active ingredient in marijuana may help fight lung cancer.
Yeah.
Anything is bad for you, but there are other ways to deliver TH. The study shows that the compound cuts lungs in half and keeps from spreading. Recently, possibly delightful side of it.
Sorry, no. The tapes here, and I had one.
Uh-huh.
But he might go.
God made it into the top three.
It heard that you'd said that. Would you?
All right.
Honest.
Interesting.
Simon Cowell, what did you do, fly out to Las Vegas last night? Were you surprised by the results last night?
I was on a very, very happy plane last night.
On a happy plane. Okay.
Who's you doing the interview with?
Oprah, yesterday.
Oh, Oprah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Oprah.
Yeah. All right, gotcha. Right, Oprah?
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
Yeah. Well, that's a dirty word to call a woman, right, Simon?
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
What about you, Stevie Wonder?
Am I going to give me a C? A buzz?
Yes.
News and comments brought to you by Cox Communication.
Right.
Your friends in the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
Cox services include local long-distance phone, high-speed intranet, digital cable, call 703-480-6222. And now, go ahead, you rude little pig.
A cigarette.
What about the vagina?
Well, we're getting to that.
It's right next to the goddamn Alec Baldwin thing.
What a rude little pig you really are.
There he is.
There's been too much vagina because rude little pig is right next to vagina.
And rude little pig is the item of the day.
See, there's...
What about the vagina?
Vagina, it's right next to...
What a rude little pig.
Pigs have them, too.
Have you said
we
that?
Have two pigs. 17 and 35. They're different, you know.
Yeah, two different pig recordings.
Oh, I see. Hold on. 17.
From
you are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Right, then there's...
What a rude little pig you really are.
Right, and...
What about the vagina?
Right.
Oh, no, there's not been too much of that.
What about my fingers?
Ein and finger.
One of them's clean.
It's clean. It's decent. Just like the mechanic.
Make Johnny laugh.
A cigarette may have saved a woman's life this week. Brenda Cummer of Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Hey, yeah.
That's Chuck Jug.
Yeah.
That's her name.
Yeah.
You have hair in your special place.
No. She just finished doing the dishes and stepped outdoors to light up. And just then, as smoke filled her lungs, an 80-foot oak tree crashed through the roof and onto the kitchen sink where she'd just been standing. 53-year-old Brenda will now live longer thanks to the cancery goodness of tobacco. There's the tree.
I'll be in as soon as I'm finished.
Brenda Cummer says the first thing she did was call her husband to say, honey, I know you fuss at me for smoking, but today it saved my life.
Brenda Cummer.
Now, you can buy tobacco if you're 18, just not alcohol. In fact, you can get married, have kids, even adopt them. You can vote, drive, fight in the war, but you can't drink.
I remember back when she was hot. She's a newcomer.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
And I went to school with her brothers, up and. Up and comer.
Right.
Thank you. In fact, history professor John McCardle...
We just don't have a sound effect of a tree falling, do we?
No,
sadly.
That first one, though, covers the tree going into the house. There's a lot of smashing wood and everything.
That's probably what it might sound like.
Hey, look, a tree!
history professor John McArdle believes we could lower the number of alcohol-related deaths by lowering the drinking age from 21 to 18 nationwide. McArdle teaches at Middlebury College in Vermont. He says alcohol poisonings have gone up in that in-between age group since the drinking age was lowered nationwide 10 years ago. Campus crackdowns have driven underage drinkers off campus where they're more likely to get into some kind of trouble or accident.
Whatever I feel like I want to do. Come on.
And a new drunk driving record has just been set by a former police officer. When Seattle's Deanna Jarrett got popped, so did the eyeballs of whoever read the breathalyzer. She blew a limit.
Oh, come on.
A lot of cases, it's enough to kill a person.
Come on, you can't say blow, and then I didn't say it in a sexual way.
I think it's still,
for goodness sake.
Oh, my.
She blew a what?
A .47.
That's quite a job.
There you go.
Thanks.
Perfectly acceptable.
Safe at home.
Welcome to 2007.
Yeah. 2007, where the standards are high.
You know.
Effers.
Often .47 is enough to kill a person. .40 is considered a deadly amount. People usually pass out at around .35. By her size and body weight, Deanna would have had about 17 shots in 1 hour to be that drunk. She was pulled over after slamming into two cars. Oh, by the way, this was her second DUI. She got the first one the night before.
Wow.
Yeah. Your Crocs are trying to kill you. This is about those neoprene shoes with holes in them.
You wear those.
Really very bright color. Yes, I do. Mine are black. Hey, while hospital nurses around the world...
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his footwear? Have you ever seen his like Danish footwear?
The greatest things ever invented.
I'm aware. Do you know how I know them?
How do you know?
My grandchildren wear them.
A lot of kids wear them. But
that's how I know Crocs is little kids wear them.
He not only wears them, but he's a big advocate of them. We've talked about his Crocs.
My kids wear them. You know what's popular with kids? They put little buttons in them, like Bugs Bunny or.
There's
whatever.
A lady that actually made a fortune decorating the Crocs.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that. While hospital nurses around the world have taken to wearing Crocs for their day on their feet, diabetics reportedly swear by them. One hospital is actually banning them. It's a hospital in southern Sweden that noticed that the shoes are producing a tremendous amount of static electricity as they cross the tile floor. In at least three cases, the static spark shut down a respirator. Fortunately, no one was connected to them at the time, so no one's died.
We don't allow them at the ranch. In my bedroom. Because of the respirator.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I did that.
Get to know Charlie.
Wow.
Charlie.
Oh, my.
Matthew, Charlie.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
Matthew, Charlie.
Sure you are, Tom.
Where's Charlie?
He's not here, Tom. He's with your mother.
Well, your kids will never have to starve so long as it's this easy to become and be a phone sex operator. One reporter was able to land her job in less than a minute. She started with Google and Craigslist. She picked a company and filled out the application. And 60 seconds later, she was employed. After that, she says, you just sit back and enjoy your 40 cents a minute. That's right. These women and men are doing this for 40 cents a minute. And if you can't keep them on the line for at least 6 minutes, your pay goes down. And you could get fired.
Hey, now, where are these people when we call the phone sex lines, when we play the tapes, and they hang up on us?
I know.
So you could just apply online.
Anybody can do
that. And do that, and you get 40 cents a minute.
You can have a job in less than 2 minutes.
Wow.
How are you doing, Joe?
Like I said, you get 40 cents a minute for this $1 billion-a-year industry. Still, they will give you tips for success, like how splashing your hand in some water can make it sound like you're in the tub.
Hey, maybe that's what What's-Her-Name was doing to us yesterday.
Yeah, that bitch.
We both immediately assumed she really was doing it, too.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
And the thing is, I'm sure like you, I don't even remember what she was on the show for.
I don't either, but the fact that she is a bitch, she was faking us out with
just
that.
Some girl that you in a bathtub. Ooh, and have a safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Love you, Avis. Back Monday on a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And have...
Elephants are smart, right?
Good to see the Duker again.
This is the Don and Mike Show.